Welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Hey, what the hell's going on? 866-901-ADAM, that's the phone number. Brought my dog Molly in today to help with the football picks. We're tied thus far. She's humiliated as well. I learned that. She was talking to my wife yesterday. Really? Yeah, I said, this is embarrassing. I'm tied with the dog. As I was saying it, she was confiding to my wife. She's also embarrassed that she's tied with the Ace Man. Yeah. I'll tell you, I think I brought this up before. I don't know how it works. I'm not much into this stuff, but it's hard to ignore. Molly sleeps on the foot of my bed, and as I complain every other morning, she's asleep when I leave the house. I don't like it. I don't like that feeling of climbing out of your bed when you're tired and you don't want to get out of bed is bad. Climbing out of your bed when there are two creatures passed out in your bed. Well,
creatures.
Well, I don't want to offend either one of them by saying two people or two dogs. The point is when you, the more people that are sleeping around you when you have to get up, the worse it is for you. As I've said, you know, if you have that roommate that has that crappy gig and you hear them brushing their teeth, you know, off in the distance at 4:30 in the morning, you think, you poor son of a bitch. The dog, and dogs are like sleeping mascots. You know what I mean? They're like put on this earth to help people with disabilities sleep. You know, they'll show you how to sleep. They don't look like they're tossing and turning with the weight of the world on their shoulders. You know, my dog looks like I got hit with a dart and fell over in the same place it was. You know, feet sort of sticking out. Once in a while, it does the huge stretch and yawn move where all four paws head one direction. And then to roll over again. And then do the, novelty size sigh. You know, that's what Molly will do. I'll get up. You know, Lynette's sawing logs, of course. Molly will sometimes look at me and do that, roll over and face the other direction, face her ass toward me, and pass out. And it makes it that, for me, it's like, oh, man, that much worse because it's one thing to be sitting in a snowbank freezing your ass off. It's another thing to see a couple of people in a hot tub right next to you drinking a martini.
It's the contrast that makes it painful.
Yeah, one would argue your ass would be freezing in the snowbank anyway, but now it is that much colder. Your ass hurts that much more. It's that much more if you see that couple in the hot tub while you're freezing your ass off. It's pretty much life.
Yes.
It really is. And I would say to have the dog and the wife sawing logs is really does twist the knife. That turns up the puts my ass in the snowbank just a little bit deeper. But so Molly lays there on the foot of my bed and happily sleeps away every single morning. But yesterday, and we didn't do it last week because we're in San Diego. So it's been a couple of weeks since Molly's came in. But I announced to Molly the night before, I know she doesn't understand, but I communicate with my wife through the dog. You know, I say, somebody's coming into work tomorrow with me. Molly's a good girl. Molly's coming into work with Daddy, which is me telling my wife.
Just the mention of her name, by the way, starts her tail wagging.
Yeah.
By the way, what if you had to give your wife bad advice through the dog?
Somebody's been cheating, Molly. Somebody got caught with a stripper. He's a bad boy.
Daddy was bad.
Daddy was a bad boy. Daddy needs to be hit with a rolled up newspaper, or maybe just hold his nose down into the stripper panty pile. Let him know it's off limits. Bad. Yeah.
It's a valid way to communicate.
Somebody wants mommy to start cooking, or somebody's going to beat the crap out of her with a slipper. Somebody wants a divorce, right, good girlie? Who wants a divorce? Who wants a daddy wants a divorce? Yeah, that'd be nice. I'll do that with Molly for a while, and then when the kids get older, I'll use them as a shield between me and my relationship. But the point is I did that thing with Molly last night where I said, "Are you coming with Daddy? He's coming to work with Daddy." And I always sort of chuckle because she wags her tail around, but she's, you know, she's moved by my excitement. I know she has no idea what the itinerary is for tomorrow, but I woke up this morning and I walked out of the bedroom, my normal time, and I headed down to the kitchen. And moments later, Molly slid into the kitchen, tail wagging hard. Now, Once in a blue moon, she gets up when I get up, although she's long since over that. I mean, she doesn't do it anymore. She used to do it. But when she does, she looks tired and looks like she just dragged herself into the kitchen. And the only time she'd ever do it is if I was cooking up some eggs or some bacon or something like that where she smelled something coming from the kitchen. I didn't do that this morning. I had a piece of toast with some peanut butter. But she came in tail wagging. She was prepared to go somewhere. And she was in her we're going somewhere posture. She came in. Her tail was wagging. She was alert. She was ready to go. So I don't know how that works.
Pride. She's decided enough's enough. She has to start making some good picks.
She's going to beat me this week.
ESPN behind your back.
I'm curious. The problem is you can never really get to the bottom of these things because you have your mom's friends with the huge clamp-on earring saying, my dog knew when I hit menopause... My dog Raffles knew that when I had a hot, and they're like, all right, you old nut job, come on now. Yeah, they have dogs, you know. They start saying, now my dog's a Libra, so she was born under half moon rising, so she's very sensitive, she's very in tune. Whereas my friend has dogs at Gemini who's really passive aggressive. You know, it's like, all right, you get the nut job theories, but. What is the real theory here? How does this work? Yes.
Well, I actually read this. You know that guy Gavin DeBecker? He wrote The Gift of Fear. He's the security guy with the big mustache.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Always on Oprah.
Yeah. And he said, well, women will have the plumber over, say, and they'll go, oh, the dog is really scared of the plumber. The dog knows. And, you know, in retrospect, the plumber attacked the woman. And what he says is that dogs pick up on their owners. They're attuned to pick up on their owner's energy. Mm-hmm. So the dog, it's not that the dog is scared of the plumber. It's that you are nervous and the dog is picking up on its master. That's what it's designed to do. So the dog might be picking up on your enthusiasm.
Oh, that's why Molly doesn't like black people. I thought it was
Duran off the hizzle.
Interesting.
That's the theory, that Molly knows your moods.
Ah, okay. Well, yeah, I mean, she certainly knew Pops was enthusiastic about bringing her in last night.
Well, her whole life is based on knowing you and your moods. That's how she survives.
Yeah, and when I'm going to be in the mood to feed her.
Right,
because
exactly.
That's ultimately distills down to her getting food. I'm not, you know, she's like some, you know, trophy wife or something. I mean, ultimately, it's about the money. For her, and it's about the money that buys the food. I'm not gonna kid myself. That's what I like about cats. They are at least bold enough to say screw you and make with the kibble. Mm-hmm. You know, dogs pretend like they want to see you, and then they want to eat, or then they want to do something. Cats want the same thing. They just drop the false enthusiasm.
They maintain their dignity.
It's always funny to me when how sort of transparent or how much people are willing to reveal about themselves when they do that thing where they go, I don't like cats. Dog, you come home. Dog's interested. Dog wants to know what's going on. Dog comes and greets you at the door. Cat just look at people spout out about that and realize you're really saying you're zero as a person, that you need this thing with a brain the size of the acorn to come and validate you after a long day at your crappy office. Really? That you're saying you need this thing to make you feel better about yourself? This thing that sniffs other things' butts needs to come over and make you feel good, make you feel valid, make you feel like you've done something in life? Cat just look at you. Mm. Yeah, so do trees and infants. It's fine.
Molly. She's so adorable.
Now, Ace, what happened at the feast last night? You went to the feast of San Gennaro, Prima Notte, yes? And Sonny and the rest of the family, but you and Sonny wore matching newsboy hats.
Yes.
How'd that go over?
It went over like gangbusters. Well, the Prima Notte was the first night of the San Gennaro feast. I went there. Jimmy and I did the auction wiggle. I think Jimmy taped his show early last night so he could get out and do the auction. His family is there. Everyone is there. It's good. I'll tell you the problem is. The problem is Italians are kind of blowhards. They're loudmouths. They're really, the more you know. They're like Jews, except for they're not that smart. They're all the blowhardness of a
not
Jew.
Not as smart, better food.
Better food, better looking, although the same features when you describe them, but not quite as sharp as the Jews, although they both have the same blabbermouth gene. It's just the Jews tell bad jokes, and the Italians just sort of talk your ear off into a circle. So I can't get 10 feet without stopping. And well, we all know these. Well, I'm not, well, if I'm lying, you stop me.
Continue.
Thank you. No, you the so you can't get 10 feet without talking to some blowhard guinea, right? So they went, blah, 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 blah. And all I want to do is get a slice of pizza. That's all I want to do, but I have to stop every. And it's one of those things, you know, it's like a celebrity thing. Got to take pictures, got to shake hands, but everyone wants to talk everyone's ass off. And all I want to do is get some goddamn pizza and sit down and have a little vino and whatever. And I can't do it. Now, I suppose some people enjoy that. I can't stand it.
Jimmy likes it, though.
I don't know if anyone really likes being interrupted on their way to get a piece of pizza, but I think overall he gets something out of it that I may not get out of it. It's one of these things where it's hard to say you like it because there's nothing to like about it, but overall if it sort of feeds your fire or your soul or whatever, then you get something out of it. I don't, unfortunately.
Well, you didn't want your soul fed. You just wanted pizza.
I wanted my pie hole fed, not my soul fed. But eventually, after about an hour of doing that, I was able to get some pizza. And there's nothing worse than when you get a nice sausage sandwich, which I did with the peppers and the rolls and everything. It gets into one hand. You get it in hand, and you start making it back toward the table. And then you get to stop, and you get the pictures, and you get the could you say something, and the video camera. And meanwhile, everything's just getting cold and congealing right in your hand before you get to your table. But eventually we sat down, we ate, Jimmy and I did the auction. Nice to be up on stage with Jimmy again. It's been a while, but you know, you miss and forget about, oh, you guys have a nice energy here. This is an easy one. So we had some laughs, did the auction. Lynette pushed the kids around. They're big hits. Everyone picking them up and playing with them.
They must have been such huge. I mean, everybody must have wanted to look at the babies.
Everybody wanted to look at the babies and hold the babies, and the babies were great, and we're pushing this huge Partridge Family bus type size stroller through. Uh-oh, Molly's scratching. Through everything and eating, and ultimately everyone's, you know, great, and they're getting drunk, and they're eating their food, and, you know, the Italians, they do know how to have a good time. I will definitely give them that. And this Prima Notte thing and the San Gennaro feast is spun out of control.
It's at Hollywood and Highland in Hollywood, California. And it's going on all weekend.
It's in its fifth year, and it keeps getting bigger every year, and the next move is Little Italy. This town needs a Little Italy. Mm-hmm. Any town with a populace over 3 million or a million, or I don't know what the cutoff is, but we need to set something because, you know, Cleveland has a Little Italy, and of course New York, and almost everywhere has a Little Italy. We don't have a Little Italy. We have a little Ethiopia. We have, like, Koreatown. We have every goddamn town. We have ones that we don't want, but we don't have ones we do want. Little Italy. Can't argue with that.
Is making it happen?
We're working on it.
Good.
We're working on it. All right. So we need to take a break. We got an update on our redneck family, Amber and Cletus. Also, we're going to do Friday's Bitch Bag, of course. Sugar Ray Leonard coming in here. The legend. Sugar Ray Leonard. Perez Hilton's going to be checking in with us. Larry Johnson, Chiefs star running back. Going to drop by later on and help us out with sports and our football picks. Now, next, we're going to do this thing. It's a drunk guy who left a message on our hotline. You want to hear a little clip of that before we go into break?
Jen, it's me again. I'm still drunk. I decided that I'm not going to give up on this relationship.
The one with booze, or
yeah.
I know you probably hate me.
His new girlfriend Sherry.
I just love you so much, and I know I'll never get another chance to be with someone.
Yeah.
As beautiful as you.
All right, that's enough. I'm gonna cry. Oh, all right.
As talented as you. As smart as you. I just love you so much. I just can't go on without you.
You're right.
So many beautiful aspects to that call. One, it was a happy accident. It was on the jerk hotline. It was where that message was left. This was a place to suss out nominees for jerks in the world. But instead, we wound up with this fool calling in, which is fantastic. One,
well, sometimes you throw a gill net out over the side of the ship just to catch some crappie or something, and you pull up pirate's gold.
It's great.
That's
it's
what this was.
Right. He thought he was talking to his girlfriend, but he was actually talking to your jerk hotline.
Right.
Yes, and it's fantastic because, well, it allowed us to make drunk dialing the creep of the week, and and I think deservedly so. But the better news is that that little snippet we just heard is just a small little taste of the 9.5 minutes of crying and alternately crying and then angered sort of thoughts.
Oh, he gets mad too.
Oh yes.
Oh yeah. So we will be hearing that when we come back. It always amazes me when people, you know, you have an outgoing message. The outgoing message isn't, hey, the outgoing message is, hey, this is the jerk hotline, or hey, this is Adam's house, or hey, this is Dave's house or Teresa's house. It always amazes me when it's like, hi, you've reached the home of Sheila and Larry. Please leave a message at the beep. Tim. I want to talk to you, buddy. Tim, I got some choice words for you. Nope, that's not on the menu. Did you hear the two names that were left? Did you hear this is the home of the people that are confused then, too? Tim, is this your house? Because there were two people's names that weren't yours that were left on the outgoing message, and I know you live alone. Perhaps you dialed the wrong number.
Yes. Well, this is a particularly extreme example. This guy's trying to get a woman at home. He's expecting to hear, hello. And instead he hears, hello, this is the jerk hotline. I mean, how could he make
so
this
you
mistake?
Don't say, hi, this is Jen. Yes. I'm sorry about the breakup, but please tell me why I should take you back.
Instead, I say, meh, 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 meh.
Should we, yes, where's the penguin? Because that's what it sounded like.
He heard this.
Wow, Jen sounds weird tonight.
Jen's from Pittsburgh.
I do like that one, too. Once in a while, you pick up the phone and you get the confused. Like, is this the United Airlines troubleshooting hotline? Yeah, that's how they answer the phone. Hello? Actually, the machine got it. That's the one that said, this is Adam and Lynette. We're not home right now. So obviously, probably not something affiliated with United Airlines. You know what it is? People are stupid. I've seen Big Tad do this a few times. Once you flip a switch in your brain, it takes a while to spool down. It doesn't just stop. Once you get the idea that, hey, here's who I'm calling, it doesn't matter who picks up the phone. It takes a good 18 to 20 seconds for your brain to make the shift. You can't do it on the fly like a great athlete.
Shut up.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll be back with the rest of the drunk call after this.
Here's another line you'll never hear in a porno with Playboy TV's Jesse Jane.
I'm going to give that rootin' tootin' varmint what for.
Right there. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
All right, we left off talking about the guy who called in Dave's jerk hotline and left a 10-minute rambling message, drunken message.
To a lady named Jen, who he must have just broken up with in the last week or two. Because he is begging.
He's not in acceptance about it.
No.
Now, also, well, we have a couple of phone calls to get to, too. Let's continue hearing the rest of the message.
Pick up where we left
off? Yeah. Oh.
I just want you to know how I feel. And we deserve to be with each other. We deserve. We are meant for one another. I'm not going to leave this relationship to dry. I'm going to fight
to dry
to keep it
moist.
I'm going to fight so that we can be together again. Maybe this is the alcoholic speaking.
You think?
And we are meant for each other. We are in love. This
Hold on, hold on. Is he about to turn angry?
No.
I am not going to do this alone.
Oh my God. Wow.
Oh. Don't cry! Hold it back!
I would love to hear Dave's outgoing message. We should go find that somewhere because I have no idea how he thought this guy. I mean, I know he's loaded, but how drunk can you be? Or is he just canvassing the nation? Perhaps he doesn't even have Jen's phone number. Maybe he's just randomly putting together 7-digit numbers and leaving the same drunken message everywhere.
He's so committed to not leaving this relationship dry that he's going to keep calling every number in America.
He had a little bit of a Freudian slip there because he was going to say, or he was at least trying to say, maybe this is the alcohol talking.
Right.
But instead he said, maybe this is the alcoholic talking.
That was great.
And I think he was dead nuts on that one. Oh, we can...
You can probably dial that number straight from that phone.
Oh, right. You can dial the jerk hotline from here?
323-930-7318.
All right.
But if it wasn't that, if he wasn't canvassing the nation... If this was a specific attempt to reach, could you reach a worse wrong number in the country? How many lines are set up for broadcasting purposes?
Uh-oh. I'd say less than half.
Okay, we are currently dialing to see what drunken.
Thank you for calling the Jerk Hotline. You can make it an even better day by leaving your jerk nominee at the beat. If they're worthy, we'll use them on the air.
Oh. Sound a lot like Jen's outgoing message. Guy from Beaver Falls yelling jerk.
Now he goes on for 9 minutes. In my experience, this type of interaction usually starts out sad and weepy, and we're meant for each other. Then it goes angry, and it goes something like, "You don't know what you're missing. You're making the biggest mistake of your life."
I always love when people threaten people that are trying to leave them. You're never going to find anyone who's going to love you. There's all that kind of stuff. It always seems to be a strange strategy to me where people are screaming at people. They don't know what they have when they're trying to get away from what they have.
They do know what they have. That's why they're trying to get out.
I understand the, I hope you get hit by a trolley car. I understand that. I understand you stink downstairs. I understand a lot of those allegations. I understand blowing off the steam, but you're going to be sorry. Whether it's leaving a job or leaving a relationship or wherever you're leaving, always funny to me that that's the angle.
Well, I think you'll find that this one takes a darker turn.
Oh, good, all right. Good. We've got more.
Well, let's continue.
I miss the way you wave to me. I miss your smile. I just miss everything about you. Now, whether you think it's right or wrong, we are going to be together.
Uh-oh. In hell,
we
perhaps.
We are meant for each other. And if you don't give this relationship another chance, there's no telling what will happen to both of us.
Both of us?
Uh-oh. No.
Are supposed to be together.
Mm-hmm.
My heart hurts.
Yes!
His heart hurts.
Well, his liver doesn't feel much better.
Yeah.
Well, so can we assume from that murder-suicide is the plan?
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Sounds like it was hinted at. By the way, we got a... get Eric Roberts on the show. I don't know why. I just thought of that. But
Star 80.
Be good booking. Yeah.
Yeah.
Get him in here. Oh, that, you want to talk about nightmare. Nightmare is, as a parent, your 18, 19-year-old daughter hooks up with that 31-year-old guy who turns into this. Because there's nothing really the law can do as it pertains to this sort of stuff. I've talked to people that have had troubles in the past. You know, he stalked me, he killed my cat, he left a threatening whatever. It's always somebody just telling you, essentially, here's how the law works. He has to kill you, and then we can do something. So call us after you're dead.
Yes, it's true. It's very difficult. I dated a guy for 4 months once, and when I tried to break up with him, unfortunately, we were in his kitchen, and he grabbed a huge knife and threatened to kill himself if I left him. And he had a knife in his hand, and part of me wanted to laugh because I was so it wasn't funny, but I didn't know what to do, and I had to, like, you know, I had to talk him down. Yes, I had to talk him down, and then for the next few months, I started dating another guy whose tires he slashed.
Yeah, probably using the same knife.
Exactly.
No, it is especially the young love stuff. I mean, when you're a guy and you're between the ages of probably 17, 16's a little early, but when you're between the age of like 17 and 27, anything before 30, but the sweet spot is like 22, 23 years old, and you really have these hormones just raging and circulating, and your mind's a mess, and the girl you thought you were going to marry is taken up with your best friend. It is freak out time.
Have you ever freaked out?
Yeah. I have, let's see, you know, nothing ever violent, but I just mean tormented, twisted
end
houses,
of
end of the world.
This permission is never, to freak out.
This is never going to work. One time I went over to my ex's house. I believe I've told this story, but if I have, it's been a few months. I went over to her house. Her sister answered the door. I said, I need my softball mitt. I left at her house.
That old.
Yeah, I want my mitt. And she said, like, hold on by the front door. Went this the sister got me the mitt and handed it to me. I said, no, now there was a softball that went along with the mitt, and I want it. I went into her room. She was out of town or out wherever she was. She wasn't there. I looked under the bed for my soft, lifted up the dust ruffle to find, thought maybe the softball rolled under the bed. Spent condom.
No! And you knew it wasn't yours.
No, because I tasted it, and I was like,
Oh, that's horrible.
Neapolitan is not the Ace Man's flavor.
This was more tutti frutti.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So do you suppose that this character who left this message for Jen, Teresa, speaking on behalf of women, is this a good tactic for fellas to take? Does this maybe make her say, is Jen listening to this message, say, wow, he really cares?
Well, no, as Adam has said many times, when someone's getting fired and then they display the reason they're getting fired, like, hey, I'm firing you for insubordination. Oh, F off. Well, right, that's why I'm firing you. This guy was breaking up with us. He was, you know, he could get a little hysterical, and there he was doing what he was, why I was leaving him.
If you're effed up, though, as a girl, if you saw mommy go through this with stepdaddy a number of times, a lot of blowouts, a lot of breakups and makeups, lots of very energetic fighting mixed with some booze and then some passionate lovemaking that was then followed by more fights.
If this
is in your history,
you'll find it attractive.
You'll find it attractive. There's a lot of chicks that will go back when guys do this. I'm sure this guy did something to warrant her breaking up with
him. He did. And as a part of the 9.5 minutes of message that he left,
he
does refer to something about, like, I made a mistake, something like that.
Yeah. Hmm. Is there any chance that this guy's acting?
If he is, he has no place on this show, because we've never had this kind of acting on this show. You know what I mean?
He's the Olivier of drunken phone calls.
Yeah, he's really good. Do we have any more of him?
What?
I thought we had more of him.
This is
Well, we have the entire 9.5 minutes.
Let's play it
do
all.
That. I'd love to sit. Listen, nothing would be more entertaining than that.
All right, so we will try to track this man down and
please
find
call
him.
In. Or Jen.
Or Jen.
Is his name Jim? Does he say who he is at the beginning?
No, I don't think he ever identifies himself.
We need to take ourselves a little break. Hold on a second. Somebody started a bonfire on their girlfriend's lawn. Anthony?
Yes, Adam Carolla.
I got to tell you, many, many books could be filled with things that 20-year-old guys did trying to get back at or lashing out because they felt slighted. Go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, well, I was in this relationship for about 3 or 4 years, and the table turned one day, and my ex-girlfriend decided to take a life of drugs.
Mm.
And I just didn't want any part of it. You know, I tried to get her some help, and she kept lying. And one day I finally had enough and collected all the things she ever gave me and piled it all in front of her house one night with a can of kerosene oil and just lit it up.
And
had a bonfire in front of her house.
And you were never, were there any trouble with the law, anything like that?
Well, I didn't really hang around.
Smart.
Yeah, it was like maybe 2 minutes and I was gone. And I'm sure they know who did it, but, you know, I don't know. I haven't heard anything since then. And
I got to say, there is a strategy. I've got dumped on a few times in my early days. And let me just speak candidly about this for a second. Play some nice oboe music. Yeah. Here's, first off, when you get dumped, you are as miserable as your life is at the time. Meaning, if you make a lot of money, you live in a nice house, you drive a nice car, and you got yourself one of them Panasonic 42-inch flat screens, you get dumped, you're unhappy about it, but you don't bottom out. You bottom out when you have a crappy job, drive a crappy pickup truck, and live in a one-bedroom apartment with Chris and the Wheeze in North Hollywood. That's when you bottom out. It is really as bad as your life is. You wonder why these celebrities who go through these relationships, well, you know, Ben Affleck, whoever.
Nick Lachey goes from Jessica Simpson, oh, you poor dear, now he's laying down with Vanessa Manila.
Oof. Right. Whenever you're a celeb, whether you're Paris Hilton or Nick Lachey, whoever you are, you realize, or forget about celeb. Maybe you're just your chef and you own your own restaurant. Maybe you own your own bar. Wherever and whenever there's an influx of other people, other candidates, other possibilities, you only bottom out so hard because here's the math you do. When you're in the relationship, and if you're a celebrity and you're Nick Lachey and you're in a relationship and you're traveling around and you're singing and you have chicks throwing their panties at you all day long, well, you think to yourself, geez, I'd love to hop on some of this new action here, but I can't. I'm legally married and I would get into trouble, or I won't do it for moral reasons or legal reasons or whatever. I won't do it. But when you break up, as the person is breaking up with you or you're breaking up with them, what's rolling through your head is, oh, Molly wants to play with the toy. Daddy's in the middle of a heartfelt rant, sweetie.
Her timing's almost as good as Brusca's.
Wait a minute. Brusca strapped a note to her. Go to calls. She's using her like a St. Bernard in the Alps. All right, point is when you know you have options and a person is breaking up with you, well, there's a tear in one eye but a smile on your face because you're thinking, all that action I wanted to hop on top of on the road but was always freaked out, well, I'm going to hop on top of it now. And not only that, there's specific examples. If you're a celebrity, you know there are people out there. You know this reporter from this entertainment magazine's always had the eye for you or what have you. So it's not that big a deal. Sure. When the press asks you how you feel, oh, you're feeling pretty low. That goes on for a couple weeks, and then you're right on top of Vanessa Manila or whatever hell her name is. Of course. But again, in life, you have a nice car, you have a nice house, you have a nice life. You only hang your head so low. When you are down, when you are making $8 an hour, like the Ace Man was, when you have a car with not a bench seat in the truck, but dinette seats that were ripped out of a dinette set and then bolted down to the truck, when there's no crank on the windows, not power windows, crank windows, except for the crank is busted off and you have to use vice grips to open and close the windows, and you get dumped, now you must get her back. Now, she then becomes the hopper that everything in your life lands into. I have to get her back. She will make me happy. Well, she may be responsible for a small piece of your happiness, but the real reason you're miserable is the crappy truck, the crappy career, the crappy life, the crappy boss, the crappy fill in the blank, everything but her. That's how it works. So the idea is when you get dumped and you feel like you want to kill yourself or you feel like you want to kill them, then yourself, or go get her back or whatever, realize it's your life that you need to get back. That's what you need to focus on. And you should use it as an opportunity to really examine your life. Because a lot of people use a relationship as a distraction. They get so involved with this, then they get dumped, then they get fixated on getting that person back because they're miserable. When you get dumped, next time you get dumped, folk, if you've currently been dumped and you're in the throes of this now, focus on your life. Focus. And if you want to get somebody else or you want to get them back, best way, get your life in shape. Not, don't get drunk and do Brody's on their lawn. Start doing push-ups and get your career better. That's the only real remedy for this. And it's sort of like, you know when they say, I'm going to weave Big Ben into this conversation for you, Dave.
Big Ben Roethlisberger,
that's
number
right.
seven?
I'll tell you why, buddy. Because they say when a guy's a fine athlete and he has a horrible injury, if he wasn't in such great shape, he wouldn't have lived. If Big Ben was some fat, out-of-shape biker, he'd be dead on the Pittsburgh street right now. But he was a finely-tuned athlete, and that saved him, helped him with his recovery. You hear about this stuff every once in a while. A guy falls 60 feet down a ravine, and it's like the only thing that kept him going is he was in such great shape. Well, that's the same with relationships. When you're in good shape, when your life is going good, it's ironic because you don't get dumped when you're in great shape. But when you're in great shape and you get dumped, it's an injury, but it's survivable. When you're in horrible shape, it can kill you sometimes. So everyone, focus on your life, and you don't have to focus on the other people. That will come.
Success
that's what,
is the best
That's
revenge.
What Nick Lachey does. He focuses on doing curls and singing, and the women come to him. The more you know.
Good times.
Thank you.
It's inspiring.
Thank you.
Been dumped.
All right. Now, T.
Yes.
What's in the news?
Well, what makes a lot of women kill themselves? A new survey.
Nick Lachey.
Surprisingly, no. And also, Ryan Seacrest very candidly discusses whether or not he's gay on Tyra yesterday. I've got that and more.
I'm tired of Tyra. Are you tired of Tyra?
Mm-hmm. It's almost the same word, tired and Tyra.
I just tired of, there's a part of me that appreciates her coming out with no makeup or no bra and explaining how ugly she is in real life. And then there's a part of me that realizes that's its own form of indulgence and narcissism.
The second episode of her show, she has her daytime talk show, she put on a fat suit and went out to show the world. You know, she experienced what it was like to be ugly. Oh, so noble of you.
What shocking research. Okay, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back with news and sports after this.
Here's what's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
What up, peeps? Boxing legend Sugar Ray Leonard from Mind Freak Chris Angel and the Friday Bitch Bag. And mercifully, the drought is over. Jesse Jane in studio. Finally, we get to see some boobies.
Actually, she's on the phone.
Owner.
Yeah.
That is devastating. I'll be in my office working on the jerk report, if you know what I mean.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
You know, I like Jack Silver, program director, but to see his heart broken that way, to realize the boobies were coming in, ironically, via the telephone.
The phoner means no boner. Write that one down, Jack.
I like that.
Speaking of boners, Teresa Strasser in the news.
Well, the president of Iraq is speaking to the United Nations today. And, of course, yesterday, Republican senators and Bush reached an agreement on how terror war detainees should be treated. But all of that is of no consequence. Let me get right to the important news. What makes women kill themselves? Now, according to a new 15-year study, breast implants have been linked to suicide. In fact, information collected on more than 24,000 women, this is a very large-scale study, with implants shows that the suicide rate is 73% higher among those with implants than without. Now, researchers pointed to previous studies about women with boob implants, suggesting that perhaps they have low self-esteem, a lack of self-confidence, and a higher incidence of mental illnesses in general. They tend to suffer from more depression, etc.
Right. Well, obviously, this is how all this stuff works. You think there's something in the silicone or something in the saline when there's something in the brain that attracts this certain populace to this certain activity, and that's...
Yes. It's a self-selected group of people who would choose to do this.
Well, when you say, when you go out and get breast implants, you are sort of announcing that you don't like what you see when you look in the mirror. And when it comes to killing yourself, not liking what you see when you look in the mirror, whether it's, you know, literally or figuratively, that leads to suicide.
Now, in entertainment news, Ryan Seacrest...
Still sad that all those nice boobies have to go to the grave.
It's true, but I don't think they decompose.
Let me ask you this. You can put a little sticker on your license if you want to be an organ donor. Right. How about a boobie donor? Let's... Just hear me out. Hear me out. There's a lot of kids, young kids, living in the inner city that can't afford boob jobs. Why should you take those beautiful, expensive sacks to the grave?
I think that's not a bad idea. They harvest corneas and all other organs.
Where'd you get your boobs? Woman killed herself. Yeah, why not?
motorcycle accident. She was DOA.
Yeah, I don't know what the sticker would look like. A couple of pink little mounds that you stick onto the license or whatever it is. But we go ahead and get all your stuff out of you. If you got a pacemaker, maybe some dental work we could reuse. We treat you like a computer. We pull all the crap out before you hit the landfill.
You know,
are a blinding, brilliant light from heaven.
My words, exactly. Now, Ryan Seacrest was on the Tyra Banks show yesterday. And, of course, Tyra brought up the gay rumor. Here is what he had to say.
I say this to my buddies. I'm like, so hold on for a second. You'd rather be out on a hot, steamy basketball court with a bunch of dudes in shorts than inside a cool mall with pretty girls shopping for purses, belts, and shoes. And you can even have a soft pretzel at the end of the deal. And they're like, yeah. I'm like, that's fine.
All right, you're going to go get the chicks.
Yeah, or a churro, a fleshy churro.
Well, then he continues on, and he kind of tries to flirt with Tyra. Let's hear how that went.
Have you ever dated a black girl?
I've not dated a black girl, no.
Have you ever a black girl?
Oh, now I'm back for saying hitting it, and you're... No, but I'd like to start next week.
Ooh. Yeah, as I've said, first off, I think he gets some mileage out of all the buzz over whether he's gay or straight, because otherwise there's not a whole lot to the guy, but it always sort of keeps him at the tip of everyone's tongue. They bring him up. You know, if you can work your way into being the butt of every joke or every time somebody makes a gay reference, your name pops up, you're always going to be on the late night talk show monologues and all that kind of stuff. He's no dummy. He knows what he's doing. Also, I was at a party with him many years ago, and he was hitting on a hot chick that was at that party, and this is long before anyone knew his name.
Well, I worked on his show On Air with Ryan Seacrest, his ill-fated talk show, and mm-hmm. I never, ever got any gay vibe, and he was nothing but incredibly nice. But we are having Perez Hilton on later in the show, Gossip Queen, and she will probably be the ultimate, so maybe we should ask Perez.
All right, we'll do that.
Okay, now, if someone told you you could live to be 100 years old if you gave up something,
mm-hmm.
would you give up sex? They did a survey, 40% of Brits, because this was a British survey, 40% said they would give up sex if they could live to be 100.
They give up sex if they could, but at what age were they polled? I mean, if you talk to a guy who's 17, he's not going to say that 100 is a million years away, 80 is a million years away. If you talk to someone who's 65, you know what I mean?
Yes, exactly. They took a random sampling, but I thought this was kind of touching. 6% of us would give up our friends or family to be 100. 26%.
Hold on.
Yes.
Okay, done.
26% would give up our money for a long life to be 100. I don't want to be 100. Why would I want to be 100? I barely want to be 29.
Well, you know, it's one of these things where I can't speak for women, because it's an interesting thing, which is men get to do whatever they want as long as they can move around, whereas women don't. I mean, there's 80-year-old guys who get to hop on top of 19-year-old Anna Nicole Smith. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Our famous NFL pick segment coming up later in the day. I'll get to my college football Pac-10 picks in a moment. First, let me say this about baseball. As we come down the wire, Ace, you must be overjoyed that we're now inside of 10 games. Dodgers salvaged a win last night from their three-game series against the very game Pittsburgh Pirates, giving them a half-game lead over the Phillies in the National League wildcard race. They're still a half-game behind the Padres in the race for the NL West, because the Pods dumped Arizona last night. Oakland very happy. Athletics ace hurler Rich Harden came in and looked very nice yesterday. So
Dick
that sets
Harden?
Him up. I guess you could call him that. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. It never occurred to me. Rich Harden, yes.
Good guy, yeah. Been.
Yes, that's mm-hmm. a barely avoided disaster created yes. by his parents. Now, let me give you those picks in the Pac-10 college football. I say SC is at Arizona. I say they're going to beat the Wildcats by more than 22.5 points.
Is that the spread?
That's right.
Wow. That's what I love about college ball.
It's exciting, yes. The college football, many people say, easier to pick than NFL. hard to beat my 18 of 19 run in the NFL.
He truly
but let's
has.
See if I can do it. All right. Arizona State, 22nd ranked, 21st at 21st ranked Cal. I say take Arizona plus the 8. UCLA at Washington, take the Bruins minus 3. Stanford plus 10 at home against the Wazoo. I like the Cardinal, and Oregon is idle, and I hope that they will use that time to really reconsider those horrendous
I don't mind them.
Uniforms.
I don't mind them. I know that's not popular with you, Dave, but
no,
I feel like a lot of teams get caught in between. They get caught halfway. They try to go all the way to Bold City and they land somewhere in Mediocrityville. I feel like that Oregon just went insane, and for that reason, their football uniforms don't even look like football uniforms, and for that reason, I'll tip my hat to them.
No.
Okay.
Incorrect. They have 3 helmets. You can't have 3 helmets. They have a white one. They have a yellow one. They have a green one. No. Choose a helmet. That's that. That's right. The law. Uh-huh. I didn't make it, Corolla. You're I'm just trying to adhere to it.
There is a helmet law in this man's Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Now, the big story in sports, nay, news in general, is the two reporters from the San Francisco Chronicle have refused to reveal their sources about who leaked the Barry Bonds, the Balco stuff about Barry Bonds using the steroids and so on and so forth. They had an inside source that the courts demanded you reveal to us so that we may pursue legal action. These two guys have refused to do so. I, for one, let me say something. I admire them. My colleagues are now going to be doing 18 months in the pen.
I see you look at yourself as a journalist yourself.
That's right. Well, listen, I empathize with them because I hopefully have lived up to the same sort of journalistic standards. As a matter of fact, I hearken back to 5 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Took 5 weeks to get there.
Right. Hey, Dave.
Yes, Teresa.
I just need to know, who put me in the bitch bag?
Absolutely, under no circumstances will I reveal who that was.
I have a donut.
It was Mike Lynch. Thank you. Well done, Teresa. Wonderfully, performed. Now, well, you gave me a lot to work with. And
when you work with a great actor, it's just like a tennis match. You know, you just serve it back.
Ditto. Mm. That's it.
Oh, it's wonderful stuff.
Dave Damashek's number one star.
I'm sorry, I got caught up in my character, and it was hard to return to this body.
Out.
Right.
Well, the bitch bag is coming up, but we'll not get there just yet. Also, Sugar Ray Leonard coming in studio.
Oh, we have a song about Sugar Ray Leonard, if you'd like to hear that.
Bresca's lover, Sugar Ray Leonard. Well, we'll hear that. Do we want to hear that now, or do we want to talk a little more relationship breakup stuff? Because I've stumbled onto this topic.
Well, it's
topic.
My show, so I... Oh, no, wait, it's your show, so whatever you want to do.
Well, I feel like we'll play that before Sugar Ray comes in. But what we were talking about before is that sort of breaking up stories, things you've done, things you're probably embarrassed you've done as you get a few years from them, contemplating suicide, restraining orders, attacks. Mostly men do it to women. They go over there and they screw up property. How much property damage is caused? And the car stuff. You mentioned that the boyfriend slashed the tires of the new boyfriend. Mm-hmm. It realized I used to live next to a guy in an apartment who had a crazy ex-lover guy who used to slash his tires and bend his windshield wiper and antenna off. And I realized your car is essentially a piece of you that you leave out in the street every night. And so anyone that wants to get revenge on you is either going to make a tinkle on it or bend the antenna back or whatever. But it is the only part to you that you essentially leave out. It's as if, I mean, it's a funny thing because it's like if you got into a breakup or somebody hated your guts or somebody was gunning for you, whether it was a schoolmate or an ex-boyfriend or an ex-girlfriend or the boyfriend of your new girlfriend or whoever it is you had a dispute with, and you left an item of yours that was worth $20,000 on your lawn. How long before the guy took a leak on it? How long before he spray painted it? How long before he threw an egg at it? It is that. It is just that. There's, I hate this guy. He could probably beat me up if I confronted him. I can't break into his house. He'll shoot me. But there's something worth $22,000 of his, and it's parked a block away, and he's asleep. I'm going to town.
He's asleep with my lady.
That's right. He's asleep on top of my lady, and there's something worth $22,000 that is parked down the street, and it's 4 a.m., and I have an egg, a can of spray paint, and a full bladder.
And I'm high.
Payback's a bitch. All right, call in 866-901-ADAM. Tell us your stories of revenge, breakups, all that good stuff, getting caught, whatever it is. We'll hear them after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. And now, Oswaldo reads the 100 greatest movie quotes of all time. Number 5, from Casablanca.
Here looking and you kid.
Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we're talking about being dumped, retribution, drunken phone calls, many things to say. We have a surprise. I will say this quickly. It just jumped in my head about the lowest I ever was at. And I've been dumped a few times and have just been depressed for an entire year. But mainly, as I stated before, because my life was so horrible. I got dumped by my girlfriend. She went to USC. She was in a sorority. She was 80 pi, I think.
What are those girls like in general?
Nice rack. That's all I remember. Met her in Santa Barbara for Halloween. They used to have Halloween, big Halloween parties.
She's
over
probably
there.
A Playboy bunny, let me guess. Or cat. Sexy witch.
Damn, I can't remember what she was. I do remember what I was. I was a sailor.
Ooh.
I went as a sailor because, look, chicks love a guy in a uniform. They just don't love the guy's paycheck normally. You know what I mean? That's right, playing with the boys. No, seriously, if you think about it, what a girl wants is a guy in a sailor outfit, fireman's outfit, cop outfit, but who gets paid like an attorney. That's the problem. They love the uniform, and it sounds like a cliche. Men, you know, women love a man in uniform, but they really do. Put your ass in that sailor outfit. Don't go as Barney and spread purple paint all over your chest and be an a-hole wearing a diaper and looking like a retard. Dress is something hot, guys. Get in that uniform. They don't want the sailor, but they do want the uniform. I was with my buddy, the Wheeze. The Wheeze had eaten some mushrooms or something like that and was not maintaining very well. Meanwhile, the Ace Man had a 12-pack. And after, you know, a couple of blocks of walking around with the Wheeze and watching him dry hump lampposts, I said, I'm cutting you loose, buddy. I can do much better on my own. So I got my sailor outfit, I got my 12-pack, and I hit the streets walking around. And I heard there was a party. I heard a party coming up, so I walked down an alley and I peeked over the top of the fence, and I was standing behind the band. The fence was behind the band, and saw a hot chick in the front row there, made a little eye contact, showed her the 12-pack. She wanted a beer. Next thing you know, I climbed the fence in my crazy patent leather sailor shoes, and I was standing drunk on top of the fence right behind the drum kit, and I jumped down. Took a big hop back, almost fell into the band, maintained my balance, and the rest is history. But eventually she wised up, and she dumped me. Now, here's where the story comes full circle. I was working for a place called ABC Closets, Always Better Closets in Burbank, right by the airport. Beautiful country out there. Mm-hmm. By the airport, always the best part of the city. And of course, Burbank, a dump to begin with, is even worse, and this is 15 years ago, by the airport, and I'm installing custom closets with born-again gangbangers. Guys who ask for traveling mercy. Guys who have the teardrop tattoo and the Bible. Same person. Mm. The worst of all worlds. The crazy, aggressive, you think they're going to stab you with a pencil at any moment, but they're speaking in tongues. I work with a guy named Frank who would just, hey, shandala, shandala, shandala. But you're scared to tell him to shut up because he thought he would snap and stab you because he's already in the joint for assaulting somebody. But that was it. And my girlfriend dumped me, and I had nothing but my $9 an hour gig with the loudmouth gangbanger born again.
Well, they must have had a lot of, they must have been a nice shoulder to cry on for you.
I used to sleep in the back of the panel van with a furniture pad so I didn't have to listen to the rhetoric as we drove to the nice houses to install the closets. But this particular day, when it was clear that I was dumped, when I was living in my crappy apartment in North Hollywood, when I only had a motorcycle for transportation, and it was 118 degrees outside in smoggy Burbank, and I got into the cab of the cube truck, and the Ace Man just unloaded. He opened up. To his men, because I said to him, look, you know, you may be gangbangers, you may be Christians, but you're men. Do you know what it's like to be dumped? Do you know what it's like to hurt inside? Do you know what it's like to feel this way? And they all just looked at me and said, you know, Christ said that. And I was like, oh, all right. I couldn't get any.
Wait, did you cry?
No, I went into the back of the cube, pulled up a furniture pad, and I went to bed.
Don't cry!
I used to sleep on the floor of a big cube van with a furniture pad, just slide around, hoping that we got clipped by a truck and it would be over with.
How long were you in despair over this girl?
Oh, at least a year.
Why did she dump you?
I was an idiot. I'm sure she had every reason in the world. There wasn't much reason not to dump me back then. But I just remember hitting rock bottom. But here's where we've come full circle now. Sugar Ray Leonard, the great Sugar Ray Leonard, is waiting in the green room. And I remember very clearly that it must have been 87. Maybe it was 88. Whenever he came back and fought Hagler. When we heard about the news that Sugar Ray was coming out of retirement and he was gonna fight Hagler, I remember I was in the parking lot of Always Better Closets in Burbank when I heard it on the radio or wherever I was. I just remember that spot. I remember thinking, wow, Sugar Ray's coming back, or Sugar Ray won. It had something to do with that fight, and I always remember being in that parking lot at the time. So now, look at me. I got my dog here. I have two lovely wives at home. That's right. There's
so
another
let that
one
be
I don't
the lesson
of.
To all the callers.
And Sugar
out
Ray
there.
Is in the green room waiting to come
around.
On. That's right. Now, we had a guy spawn this whole conversation, which was he called in, left a drunken message on Dave's Jerk Hotline. Do we have the first one?
Yes, we do.
He thinks he's calling his girlfriend, Jen evidently.
Right.
That's right.
Jen, it's me again.
Again.
Uh-oh.
I'm still drunk. I decided that I'm not going to give up on this relationship. And that's the final note. I know you probably hate me. I just love you so much. And I know I'll never get another chance to be with someone as beautiful as you, as smart as you, as talented as you, as smart as you.
Put it on pause for a second, because I always think of that joke from Blazing Saddles when the guy says, what are your qualifications?
Qualifications. Rape, murder, arson, and rape. You said rape twice.
I like rape.
I just think of that when he says smart twice.
Now, this fellow has called in?
Yes.
There's 8 more seconds.
We 8 more seconds. Okay. 8 more very important seconds okay. to this message.
I just love you so much. I just can't go on without you.
There we go. Mason?
I'm so embarrassed right now.
Wait, this really sounds like him.
Oh my god. I found out that, you know, I called the wrong number when we were at work, and then one of my coworkers was on your website,
mm-hmm.
and then they're playing the message, and he calls me over to the computer, and he says, you know, this kind of sounds like you.
Well, why did you call the wrong number in the first place? Had you called the Jerk Hotline before?
Well, actually, I've never even heard of your show before, so... Yeah, but I looked at my cell phone, my history, call history,
mm-hmm.
and sure enough, the number was the same one on the website, and this, I think I dialed the wrong number by pressing I looked at my ex-girlfriend's number, and your number and her numbers are very similar, and it's only separated by the last two digits.
Mm-hmm. So what time was this message left on our message machine? Do we have a time date stamp on that? We should, actually. But what time did you call?
Well, that's the thing. I don't remember making that call because, I think I got drunk over the past month. Like, I think I'd probably say 16 times out of the whole month.
Mm.
So it could have been any...
Are you at work now?
No, I'm actually calling sick.
You called in sick because you're depressed?
Well, I've been depressed for the whole month, but, you know.
Now, what do you do that your coworker could call you over to his computer?
We're just, you know, working on computers, and we run a computer, you know, like fixing program, whatever thing. And I'm like so embarrassed right now.
I gotta
Ace
tell
has
you.
His radar up, huh?
I wish you weren't a liar.
Well, what
my
city?
My spidey sense is tingling just a little bit.
I just wish you weren't
young,
a liar.
Young Mason.
What city are you calling from, Mason?
Well, I live in Granada Hills. So, up in, you know, the valley.
Mm-hmm. And where's Jen live?
Jen lives in L.A.
Uh-huh. She's a 323-er?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why'd you guys break up?
Biggest mistake of my life. I broke up with her because, I thought she was cheating on me.
Mm-hmm.
And then later I found out that she wasn't.
Yeah.
So I felt horrible and all that.
How long had you guys gone out?
Like, I think about 3.5 years.
I think we need to talk to Jen. I think we could win her back for you.
No, I think it's done.
Why?
Well, because every time I try talking to her, or through her sister slams the phone on me, or she's blocking my calls.
Yeah, she wouldn't block a call from a radio station, though. She'd think maybe she won a prize. Maybe she thinks she's going to get a $50 Hooters gift certificate. So, all right, 3.5 years, you think she's cheating, but she's not.
Right.
It's too bad life isn't more like the sitcoms where you think your wife is cheating and turns out she's planning a surprise party for you.
And then we all have a laugh, but not in this case.
You work with a guy who listens to this show.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on one second. I want to convene with my colleagues for a second. There's a part of me that doesn't have any reason not to believe Mason. He does sound like the same guy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm wondering if the first one was a put on.
Clearly the same guy. I think we can agree upon
same
that.
Guy. The way he heard about it is fine. The part where the digits were a couple off, I'm sort of with him
dicey.
On that. But all right, could happen. He doesn't sound right now.
I wish you weren't a liar.
He is trying to keep the same demeanor he had when he called in and sound depressed, when I think the real guy would be more embarrassed and perk it up a little, even if he was upset over being dumped by his girl.
I hear you.
What do you guys think?
Why would the real guy call in? If that were me and I had accidentally left a message, it was broadcast, I think I would just go away and hope that it went away.
Well, there's a good question. And when was this pointed out to you? When did you find out?
Oh, he doesn't know he's on.
I punched him on. Mason, are you there?
Yeah.
When was this pointed out to you?
Yesterday.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
All right. And why did you call in?
Well, because I heard the first message, and then I didn't think it was that bad. And I didn't remember anything from what I said.
Mm-hmm.
And then this morning, you know, I'm listening to you guys... And then I hear all the horrible stuff, and I was like, you know, what if she's listening too? And
you're listening. Well, I'm just going to roll the Arbitron dice and say no. But you're listening not because you're aware of the show, but because your friend made you aware of it yesterday,
right?
And that's why you tuned in this morning,
right? Because I wanted to see if you guys play anymore. Because I remember listening on the website.
Mm-hmm.
Let's
listen to it. Do we have a little more, Brian?
Yeah.
It's going to be comfortable.
I just want you to know how I feel. And we deserve to be with each other. We deserve. We are meant for one another. I'm not going to leave this relationship to dry. I'm going to fight to keep it.
Mm-mm.
I'm going to fight so that we can be together again.
Well, Mason.
Yes.
How How did you get past Dave's annoying outgoing message talking about the jerk hotline with the lasers firing off in the background and everything? How? I don't understand that part.
Well, to tell you the truth, I don't even remember making this call.
He says he was in a blackout from drinking, right?
Yeah, because later on you go on to speak about the Jews, and it's not in flattering terms, I must say.
And then you call Jen Sweet Teats.
What?
Nothing. Now, let me ask you, when you say you accused her of cheating, were you checking her email, or what were you doing that pissed her off?
Well, since I'm kind of, you know, like a...
You're a tech guy, right?
Tech guy.
Right. So I know all about computers, like, all about computers.
So you hacked into her stuff?
Yes, and, you know, I checked her computer, and then sure enough, there are some, you know, IMs and all that, you know.
Well, let me, Mason, I believe you, and I'd like to put a happy spin on this because you really sound depressed. How old are you?
I'm 25.
25, and you were going out with this one for 3.5 years.
Right, but we knew each other since, like...
Since when?
Since junior high.
All right, even more reason. You shouldn't be having relationships that go on longer than a year or so under the age of 25. It's just not healthy. What you need is variety. What you need is experience, and especially as a guy. I can't tell you all the guys, and I do believe this is what happens and what causes a lot of divorce. A lot of guys meet their high school sweetheart. They meet them in the 9th grade or the 10th grade. They date all the way through high school, sometimes college, and then they get married at 23. And then somewhere around 31, the guy starts thinking, I've never really been with other women. I don't know what it's like out there. They start hearing the stories. They turn on the entertainment shows. They see what Nick Lachey, the aforementioned Nick Lachey, is up to, and they get a little envious, and they get curious, and they stray. Best to go do your thing, make your rounds, live your life, be single for a while, and then tie the knot. You didn't want to marry this person. She didn't want to marry you. This is a good thing. Move on.
Couldn't be in more agreement.
What do you think, Mason?
At the time, you think that that this is the end of the world, but no, better to wait into your 30s.
And you have this feeling, because I could remember this gnawing feeling at 25 or so. You think, but I'll never see this person again. I'll never lay down with this person again. I'll never marry this person again. It haunts you. Everybody thinks that. Everybody goes through that. It builds character. It's really like going to the gym. It's like taking your heart and your soul to the gym and pummeling it for a while, but you come out stronger. Those who've never been dumped, who've never had, you know, loved and lost, or had the relationships up and down trials, those are boring people you don't want to hang out with. Show me somebody that met their sweetheart in high school and is now married happily 31 years with the same person. I'll show you a boring guy I don't want to hang out with.
I didn't think I'd ever be happy again, and then one day Bruska's ear came walking into my room.
Well, Mason,
he learned to love again.
Do you feel better?
No.
All right.
Well, you know, whatever doesn't kill you just makes you wish you were dead.
That's right. All right, Mason. Embarrassing.
Wait a second. We
got
to get his number. We have to be able to get in touch with him, and we need to get Jen's number.
We do need to get Jen's
because
number.
Because that will really figure this thing out.
Kyle, I don't know what you need to do. Sweeten the pot. Throw some Hooters gift certificates his way, whatever it's going to take.
Give him some of your weed, Kyle, the phone screener.
Hey, maybe he could get tickets to San Gennaro and he could meet a nice young lady there.
Or he could freak out and go on a killing spree. Either way, it's going to be good radio Monday.
Yep.
All right. Sugar Ray Leonard waiting in the wings. Yeah. People with their great stories. Blew up ex-girlfriend's appliances. I can't help it. I got to talk to some of these people. Mark?
Hey, how's it going, man?
You blew up some ex's appliances?
Yeah, back when I was, I'm an electrical contractor, and I'm not going to say who I am, but I disconnected. We broke up, and like 6 months later, after I heard she moved in with the guy, I got the plasma, I got the computer. I went over there, and you know a little bit about construction. I disconnected the neutral and the ground coming off the main, and then sure enough...
Fried everything.
Right, everything, and I hadn't heard from her, talked to her for a while, so, and I heard this through the grapevine, through some other friends, but at that point, I got redemption. I was happy, and then I just moved on, and that's it. Nobody got, I made sure nobody got hurt, and that was it. So.
Yeah, there was a high likelihood of fire, but other than that, everything was fine. Yeah, don't mess with the blue-collar guys, especially the guys that have a toolbox, because they will get into your house, they will get in your car. I often thought the sweetest revenge could be carried out by the guys who drive the porta-potty pumper trucks. because that is one big tanker truck filled with man mess. Ugh. And all you got to do is they just hook the hook the hose up and they start sucking that stuff up. But there's got to be a reverse vacuum effect too, because somewhere, sometime, they're going to need to pump that tank dry. And I just figured if you had an old lady that had a sunroof, mm-hmm, and you were able just to crack it wide enough to get that offloading hose in there and the windows were rolled up, there's no reason why you could not fill that Camry up to the top. Just up to the tippy top, to the point where you finished off the top with a smooth steel trowel finish.
It's like a Frappuccino.
Use a stick to put your initials into it.
Ugh. You filled my heart with pain. I fill your Toyota with poop.
The guy sounds, he said, well, he felt better.
Yes, but then what would you do with that car? When you walked up, somebody's going to have to pull the handle on the door. It's unclear how that works. What do you do, and then can you ever get it right again? I mean, you have a buddy vomit in your car. It's never right again. No. Is it totaled? And yeah, if so, absolutely, does the insurance pay for it? And how does this work?
I think you break up with it forever.
I want to get a gig driving that truck just for that sole purpose. All right, one more call. I know we're running late. Ex-parents, line 8, you like? Let's see. Mailman, Chris Mailman. Yeah.
Carl Malone?
Guy on his route slept with his wife.
Yep.
How'd that work, Chris?
You know, it was an experience that you don't forget, you know.
Sure.
I'm going about my day delivering mail in a town that I cannot see for medicinal purposes, but lo and behold, there's her car. You know, so I'm delivering the mail, looking over there, and I spot her car. So I start walking up, you know, and then I see her head pop out, you know, of the blinds. So I knock on the door, he answers the door, and I was like, can I speak to my wife? She's not here. And I'm like, well, her car's sitting right there. Oh, her friend borrowed it. You know, so I'm like, no, I just saw her head. Can you just tell her to come out here? I want to talk to her. Let's get this out in the open. So he gets all, you know, ballsy with me, starts push me around and stuff. So, you know, I tell him, you know, it's a federal offense to hit a mailman. You know?
And give him the pepper spray.
Oh, I did. He came at me, so I just hosed him down.
Oh, wow.
And he's
nice.
Over there screaming. His mom and dad come running out because he's 32, still lives at home with his mom and dad. You know, and
his mom and dad are letting him bang strangers under the roof?
You know, that's society for you.
I'm explosive.
Wow.
And, you know, so my supervisor comes out, the cops come, they're trying to press charges, you know, and it was self-defense.
Well, why? And I do understand when a guy's coming at you with a pith helmet and knee-high sanitary socks, you figure you can take him.
Yeah.
And I see a guy wearing shorts, a pith helmet, and socks up to his knees, I think I can take him. That's the way I feel.
Well, you know, I'm 6'5" and 270.
Still wear a pith helmet, yeah, knee-high, you know, socks. It still makes you think you can take the guy.
Whoa, you're that big a guy and you pepper sprayed him?
Well, I didn't want to lose my job. You know, I didn't want to hit him, so that they can't say that I was the one that struck him first. So I had to make it look like, you know,
he was attacking
he attacked
you.
Me, exactly.
Well, what? How does this work with your wife that she would hook up with a guy that's on your route?
We work together. But she did not know that I was delivering his route. You know, I don't have a specific route. I'm what you call a floater, so I would go everywhere.
Mm.
And it just so happened that day, she picked the day that the day I got his
You're like Bill Bixby in the Hulk.
Yeah.
You don't have any route, man. You can't be confined to one route. You float. You deliver mail where you feel like it, where the wind blows you. That's what I like.
Yeah.
Rebel mailman. Lone wolf mailman. Okay. Loner mailman.
Except that the Hulk didn't use pepper spray.
Hold on. Now, did you continue with your route that day and deliver the rest of the mail?
I had to go on through my day, you know, this in the back of my mind. So when I get home, she's there. I confront her about it. Oh, she's like, it wasn't me. I didn't do it. You know, you got it all wrong. It was my friend. She was hiding from her boyfriend and blah, blah, blah. You know, she still denies it to this day.
Mm.
You know, and the way that she divorced me, that's another story. You know, she didn't have the mendacity to call me or to even let me know.
Uh-oh,
she
registered mail.
The notarizer.
She had it delivered. You delivered it to yourself.
Oh, no.
Oh, sweet iron.
Return to loser.
So that's, she divorced me over the answering machine. Papers ready for me. You know, and it was like, wow.
Well, Chris, you didn't have any little mail men with her, did you?
No. Oh, yeah, I do. I have a 3-year-old with her.
All right.
So I still have to see the crazy psycho woman.
Well, ultimately, you dodged a bullet, though, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're better off.
Yeah. You know, I have fun with that guy and his mom and dad.
Oh, that's right, too, because is he still on your route?
No, I had it. They actually transferred me to a different area.
I see.
So that wouldn't happen again, because after that, I was still continually delivering his mail, and he wasn't.
Right.
Degrigally getting all of his mail, glitching.
No,
the
I
air,
understand. You know? Honey, it looks like somebody wiped their ass with the penny saver. Who do you suppose that could have been? Wow. That is interesting. She didn't know what the route was. He's walking around. The car parked out front. Always a tell.
Yeah, I like her story, though. That's quick thinking that the friend borrowed her car.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess he didn't buy it. Is the wife still with the other mailman?
Let's ask.
She's... No.
No. All right. Well, good job, Chris.
Thanks.
You handled yourself with poise and dignity.
And look, if he doesn't get all of his Pottery Barn catalogs, so be it.
All right. Now, where were we? The great Sugar Ray Leonard waiting in the wings. We'll bring him in. We'll heap some love on him. Bruska has a love song for him, too. I don't even know if Bruska's aware of that. You aware of that, Bruska?
No.
All right.
Oh, good.
Well, good. You're going to get to hear it after this.
The Adam Carolla Show welcomes Sugar Ray Leonard. 1976, Ray takes home the gold medal in the Montreal Summer Olympics.
Ray Leonard, a gold medal.
In 1979, he took his first title against Wilfred Benitez.
New champ captain, Sugar Ray Leonard.
Now Sugar Ray is dead.
He ruined Roberto Duran in the No Moss bout of 1980.
Duran says no. I think he's quitting. He quit. Leonard gives him no room.
When it looked like he was down, he took the fight out of Thomas the Hitman Hearns.
Hearns is in real trouble.
Hearns got a punch. He's too weak. He has nothing left. He's going to be knocked out.
And in 1986, he made Marvelous Marvin Hagler look not so great.
The crowd chanting Sugar Ray.
Just a few of the highlights in the career of one of the greatest there ever was, Sugar Ray Leonard, on the Adam Carolla Show.
He's back. Good to see you, Sugar Ray.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Sugar Ray and I got off to a famous start last time he was in here because I pointed out something that I'm going to point out again because I will kiss ass. My feeling with kissing ass is you got two cheeks. Let's do it again. Do you know what I mean? It's not one ass. I break it in half. I kiss the right side when you're in your hair last time. I'm going to kiss the left side now. I said that Sugar Ray gets regarded, as far as boxing historians go, as a guy with tremendous hand speed, tremendous flash, an exciting fighter, good-looking fighter, didn't get his props for being determined, for having the heart of a champion. I think it gets lost. I think it gets a little bit lost with Oscar De La Hoya. I think because he's good looking, because he's good technically, because he doesn't get into shouting matches with people at press conferences, they don't think he's determined. They don't think he's a warrior. Sugar Ray Leonard, a warrior. If you saw some of those fights he had, and those weren't 12-round fights back then, a lot of them were 15-round fights, he was beaten up. He was eating some leather. It wasn't just all him putting on a boxing clinic, showing flash and hand speed. It wasn't a 7-Up commercial where he was skipping with his young, good-looking son. It was a war. He is a warrior, and he doesn't get his due in that department. Yes, Sugar Ray?
Why? First of all, before I respond, why am I sitting so low?
It's a good point.
I feel like a kid.
Bruska set your chair up like that. I don't know why he did that.
Fix
to you.
That chair, Bruska.
It's okay.
Bruska wouldn't.
I want his head near my genitals.
Oh. That was out loud, Bruska.
I'm kidding. He's not gay, but Bruska is that big a fan as well.
And if it went down between Sugar Ray and Bruska, do you really think it would be Sugar who would be doing the giving? Do you really imagine that, Bruska?
That's a very good point.
I want to kick your ass after this show.
Sugar Ray, Contender 2, I've been watching it. The finale's coming up. It is coming. Well, now it's going to air on Tuesday, but I think it's this Saturday at the Staples Center, and we have some tickets to give away. I was watching last week, I believe, they went to your home, your sprawling estate looked to be somewhere in Beverly Hills. I couldn't quite figure out exactly where it was, but what Sugar did is he brought the contenders over, the young, hungry guys that were like he was back in the day, and said, this could all be yours. Probably won't, but it could be if you have the kind of heart I had. Yes, Sugar?
Well, first of all, the finale is live Tuesday at the Sable Center.
Huh. Adam, will you be attending the fight?
Oh, it is.
Yes, it's Tuesday.
Oh, all right. I screwed that up.
Forbes against Brewer at the Staples.
Oh, that's right. This Saturday, I was thinking of the UFC thing or whatever the hell's going on this Saturday. That's at the Pond. This is at the Staples Center. It's live Tuesday, and it'll be on the air then live Tuesday.
Exactly.
So, sorry, but let's get back to your mansion.
Yeah.
Well, no, I wanted to show the guys what materializes from hard work. I said, this is from Tommy Hearns, Duran, and Hagler. And you must stay focused. You must stay committed. There has to be conviction. And they've seen the finished product. They've seen Sugar Ray Leonard have this. But
right.
It took me years to accomplish all that.
How much of that is ego? I mean, when you get into the ring with whoever you're getting into the ring with, how much of that says, I just can't tolerate losing?
I think a percentage of that is ego, without question. You must be confident. Sometimes overconfidence is the key. But you got to be positive, optimistic when you enter that ring. To get into that ring, first of all, you have to be confident.
Was there anyone you ever thought you couldn't handle? I mean, everyone always says in the press conference, look, it doesn't matter who they put in front of me, I'm going to mow them down. But it seems to me that a guy like Hearns that was just knocking everybody out. I mean, Hearns was a 6'2", 150-pound guy who would reach you from across the ring. I'd see old footage of guys standing up and over their stool, and he'd knock them out, and they'd just fall right back onto their stool. I mean, he could get to anybody. Was he more frightening to you than a guy like Roberto Duran, a guy you thought maybe you matched up, you could beat with hand speed?
You know, Adam, as a fighter, you take that mental approach of being confident. You walk into the ring confident. You don't even consider the fact that that guy would beat you. Well, for me personally, I never even thought about the word loss. When they say, Ray, so what happens if you lose? I said, I can't spell the word. Because that was my motivation.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think about losing.
And now Tommy Hearns, by the way, can't say the word. He can think it. He just can't physically get his mouth to move. It was sad. He's getting a little punch drunk. I got to say, I was watching you guys talk on the television. I guess they did the anniversary of your fight with him, or at least a retrospective of your fight with Hearns, your great fight that I believe was stopped in the 14th round. Of course, Sugar Ray came on top. And he's sitting there with Hearns, and Hearns wants to go again.
No, he wants to fight again. He calls me, sir. Let's do it again. One more time, Ray. I said, Tommy, come on. That's
You are in great shape.
Yes, just for suits and, you know, fashion shows, that kind of thing.
No, obviously he's in great shape, but he's also in great shape financially. And when you're in great shape financially, it doesn't matter what you look like with your shirt off, you're still in great shape. I think Hearns may not be in great shape financially, or he just hates your guts.
Which one?
I like that philosophy.
Yeah.
Great shape monetarily, you okay?
Yeah, my wallet's in great shape, ladies. Don't worry about the spare tire. Focus on the rock-hard abs of the wallet in the black American Express card. Oh, yes. Sugar Ray Leonard must have a black American Express card.
Well, who is, though, as Adam asks, who is the scariest guy you got into the ring with? Duran, Hagler was a pretty tough-looking dude, pretty bad dude as well.
The scariest guy, I have to say, was Roberto Duran.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got into the ring, I'm happy, you know, I'm making all this money, I'm fighting in Montreal, you know, I just won the Olympics, and we're making money, and everyone should be happy. I got into the ring, and I'm smiling, because I see my face on this huge screen. I look across the ring at Duran's sneering and grimacing. I said, what's this problem?
He
should be happy.
He was hands of stone. And,
and
he was just an angry dude. And I guess for a lot of people, it's one of the few sports that works this way. Although I think football has components that are synonymous with boxing, which is for a lot of guys like yourself, you're a sportsman, you're a technician, you approach it as an athlete. I think a lot of these guys, and it's probably because they don't have your skill level, approach it as a personal matter. They motivate themselves through anger. Roberto Duran, although a tough guy, does not have the skills that you have, so the only way he can beat you is with sheer aggression and anger.
But not necessarily, Adam. I think the fact that Duran and Marvin Hagler, those two, and Tommy Hearns, I should say, those three guys, they create an aggression to be focused and just to have this mentality to hate.
You know,
they don't want to like you at all. They don't want any type of attachment.
Right.
So they force themselves to not like you.
Well, when your business is trying to beat the bejesus out of somebody with a closed fist, you don't want to like the person you're trying to beat the bejesus out of.
I can do that. I mean,
that's what I mean, because you're a true sportsman, Sugar Ray.
Well, this might be a stupid question, but generally, I mean, this guy said no mas, but he could have still fought.
Right. Well,
that rarely happens, right? You either get knocked out.
But in that case, I look at it as a frustration, and I think that he was so just humiliated and frustrated by my antics that he said, you know, the hell with this, without realizing the repercussions it would have on his legacy.
Yes.
Because that's all people remember about
him.
That's
an interesting question, actually. You had a lot of style. You used to do the roundhouse, the fake the roundhouse with one hand and then stick the guy with the other hand. What do you think of guys like Terrell Owens and Chad Johnson in the NFL with the Bengals, the guys who love to do the end zone dances and show up the opponent?
You know, that's the entertainment aspect of each sport. You know, I'm not against that. I did that myself, and it made me who I am.
Yeah, I mean, Ali did it. That's why he's remembered in the light that he's remembered in. We have some questions for Sugar Ray. Bill?
Hey, Adam, great show.
Thanks.
Sugar Ray, I want to congratulate you on another great season. Tuesdays, I always look forward to it. Let me ask you two questions. First, do you think Steve Forbes and Brady are deserving to be in the final fight? And is Bravo going to fight K-9 on the preliminary fights there?
Yes to all those. You know, the thing with Steve Forbes, who was a former world champion, he has the experience. He had everything going for himself, although he was smaller of most of the guys in the show. I mean, Steve Forbes, like 135, champion. This weight was 147 welterweights. Mm-hmm. Grady Brewer really surprised me and impressed me because he's not really, he's not really that clean or sharp with his punches, but he make them work, man. I mean, he is such a determined young man. And K-9 against Nito, that will prove to be very, very interesting because of the contrast of styles.
So that'll be on the undercard. That'll be the first fight, and then the finale will be that. You ever, a lot of people, well, it sounds obvious, but, Sugar Ray, the band, is named after Sugar Ray Leonard.
Hmm.
I do believe it's not
How
Sugar
flattering.
Ray Robinson. It is kind of flattering.
Do you like their music?
Except that they suck.
Oh,
no, Sugar Ray, do you like
how
them?
How dare you?
I like the music.
There.
You have a band named after you.
I think that's cool. I would like the
records.
Band to be great, though, if it were named after Sugar Ray. If it were after me, it
you don't
suck,
think the
but.
Band is nice?
Well, I'll let their guitar licks do the talking.
Yeah, well, hold on. Remember how Sugar Ray was explaining that he can beat the crap out of someone with no hard feelings?
Yeah, he can like you
that's
and then
about
frustrate
to happen.
You.
And believe me, he can catch your nose from here. He doesn't have to get up to punch you in the nose, my friend.
Sugar Ray and I have a mutual respect for one another.
Yes, we
wouldn't do that.
Oh,
yes,
last time he was here, I thought he might have to take you out.
He
for a
misunderstood.
Second.
I called him a beautiful bastard, and he didn't. It was a compliment.
Well, he is, especially for a fighter. All those years unmarked.
Yeah.
Why am I sitting so low?
I don't know. We're gonna do something about that. And speaking of Brusca, I think he composed a love song for you. I haven't heard it yet, so. We'll try to figure this one out. But do you have the song, Brian?
Yeah.
Let's hear that song.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
When Sugar Ray was booked, Brusca had to slap his meat.
Sugar Ray doubled over
from
in laughter.
From producer Brusca's boner, Sugar Ray will have to retreat. He would leave his pregnant wife for just one sweaty night with Ray. Cause Brusca would go gay.
Yeah, Brusca normally straight, but I think he makes an exception for Sugar Ray.
I think Sugar Ray would like to take his life away.
Gay for Sugar Ray.
And I got to to say, I'm a fan as well. And if Brusca said I went gay over the weekend, I'd be like, are you kidding? And then he'd go, it's with Sugar Ray. And I'd go, what was it like?
Come on, Sugar. Get down the shorts.
All right. Sugar Ray, the great Sugar Ray Leonard, is in studio. The contender, second big season, big finale coming up. It is, I would say, the best crafted of all the reality shows. I mean, it looks beautiful. It's scored. It is, it's shot well. It's the fights are edited in a way that essentially, no matter how exciting a fight is, let's face it, there's going to be some fat, some gristle, some things that need to be cleaned a little bit for consumption. This all down to the best shots, done in ways that are intriguing, that make you wonder when it gets to the final, when it gets to the final bell. And I know there's some creative editing going on, but I never know whose hand is going to be raised at the end. And again, the sounds, the scores, the shots, it's not only violent, but it's beautifully shot.
It is. I mean, Mark Burnett, without question, is a genius to that. And along with the talent and the show itself, it works.
Sugar Ray Leonard is in studio. We're going to take a quick break. Sugar Ray is going to punch our Hooters heavy bag again. He did it last time. And I'll tell you, this man has not only pop, but determination. Because he hit it once. He didn't like the number he got. And he hit it another 150 times until he got the desired effect. He's a champion. You can, hey, look, let me tell you something. He has the big house. He has the cars. He has the women. He has a lifestyle.
But woman.
That's married woman. With kids.
The one woman.
The one woman.
That's right. In L.A., he just has the one. Now, if we're talking Orlando, that's a different story. The point is, he has the one woman in this part, but the heart. Still, a fire burns inside, the fire of a young man growing up on the streets, angry, ready to let his fist do his talking. That's right. Playing with the boys. So he's going to punch that bag, and we'll tell you his score. Brusca, do we have something to give away, by the way?
We have contender tickets for Tuesday night. We have Jim Belushi tickets in Vegas. We got a whole bunch of stuff. Hooters gift certificate. So we got plenty of stuff to give away. And Dodger tickets tonight.
So you want to give a guess at Sugar Ray's score. And I'll tell you what, Sugar Ray, like I said, I don't think there's any one of us who could stop you from punching that thing more than 10 times. But 10 times we'll give you. We'll Thanks. Take your highest score of the 10, and whoever comes closest to it is going to get some tickets to the contender final or to go to Vegas or whatever we got. All right, we'll do that after this.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Bonita Springs, Florida. A 29-year-old man was drinking in the woods and was bitten by a snake. The man died despite trying to kill the snake with tree branches and broken bottles. Definitely not a Jew.
Sugar Ray Leonard in the studio. The great champion, the lion, the warrior, Sugar Ray Leonard. The big fight coming up on the contender finale live this Tuesday, 7 o'clock. Forbes versus Brewer. I was just thinking to myself, now the winner of this ultimately should probably get together with Sergio Mora, the Latin snake, right?
Well, these guys, again, Adam, these guys are welterweights, 147.
Oh.
And last year was 60, one middleweights, 160.
Yeah.
But that could
They're
work.
They're not too far apart.
Not too far apart.
It seems like they could meet at some catch weight around 154 or something like that.
Everything's negotiable.
The thing that is amazing about boxing is I was spending a little time with Jeff Left Hook Lacey. You probably know the yes. name. He is a scary, powerful man. And he fights at, I think, 168 is his weight division.
He does.
Now, did you spend some time? You spent some time at 168 yourself, right?
Once.
Once. Who was that with?
That was Donnie Lalonde and I think
the Golden Boy.
Yes.
The Golden Boy. Donnie Lalonde from Canada sent his ass packing back to Quebec, by the way. I remember that well because Donnie Lalonde was smug about it. He said, look, Sugar Ray's a great champion, but he can't handle my power. He's a smaller man than I am. Well, a few rounds later, He was up against the ropes, and Sugar Ray was beating him like he'd like to beat Damashek, and like Bruska beats his own meat, thinking about Sugar Ray beating Damashek.
Wow,
that's all. The Golden Boy turned into the Crimson Boy, and he had to be carried back to Canada. But now, where was I? Yeah, so I was hanging around with Jeff Left Hook Lacey, who's a physical specimen, a scary man. And he fights at 168, and I was looking at him, and I said, well, what do you weigh now, Jeff? He said, 193. And because he was shooting a movie we're doing, he was in just his boxing trunks with his shirt off, six-pack, and chiseled. So he's 193. He has to shed 25 pounds or so. I don't know where it's coming from. There's nothing on him that isn't muscle. It's amazing. It's like looking at a guy who's built, has amazing build, and saying, yeah, you got to lose 25 pounds.
How do you do that?
Well, most fighters fight 10, 15 pounds over their weight. You know, over their what we call walking around weight. And
Under
their walking around weight. So that's no sweat. I mean, losing 15 pounds is no big deal.
Do you got to jog like Burgess Meredith behind his car like in Rocky?
Not necessarily.
No, but I'll tell you, if you see a Mexican jogging in a trash bag, stay away from him. That's my rule of thumb.
He's not losing weight.
That's right. Now, if you see him on a bike, stop him and get your bike back. But if you see him in a trash bag, go to the other side of the street. That's a fighter trying to lose some weight. Am I right, Sugar Ray?
That's true.
I'm going to tell my young son, they're good people. Don't worry about most of them. But you see one jogging in a hefty bag, please stay away from him. Yes, these guys sweated off a day before. But then I couldn't think of anything I'd rather do less after I sweat off 20 pounds than get into a ring and go 12 rounds.
But they're stronger. They're much more focused. And it's a process. It's a boxer's, process. It's the way we lose weight. I used to hop in my mother's car in the summertime with plastic from the cleaners.
Hold on, I'm taking notes.
Hold on, I got to tell my son that. You see a brother
it's not healthy,
in a Pontiac wrapped in a tarp, stay away.
A sweatshirt?
You see that? Stay away.
Winners rolled up.
Oh. Now, if there's a Mexican behind him in a trash bag, just you leave that neighborhood immediately.
The other side. Move over.
Yeah.
Sugar, with the training process, so while we're talking about that, did you ever do that thing, the classic thing of no women, no loving for Sugar before a fight?
Oh, yes, without question. Because the longer you go, the madder you get.
So that helps.
It does help. Psychologically, mentally, it's
So that's what the eye of the tiger is.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. The eye is downstairs.
That's right.
The eye.
It's your chi. You cannot release any of that precious chi.
Have you told this to your fighters, Forbes and Brewer, who have their big fight on Tuesday, to not get with any women?
Trust me, they won't. They will not.
Maybe, I hate to say this, but, there is a problem sometimes with athletes getting a little aggressive with women. Perhaps if they'd take the edge off more often, themselves in the shower, like I do with Dignity, they wouldn't have to do this out in the bars and club scenes. You know what I mean? Maybe the athlete is too pent up because of this.
It releases all that energy, chi?
Chi. Yeah, the other thing, too, is if I didn't go a few months, with the ladies or taking care of myself and got in the ring and saw Sugar Ray with a shirt off, I'm sorry. It would not be boxing I would be doing. And the announcers would be, this announcer, this ringside commentary, I've never seen such a disgusting display. Carolla's clinging to his leg. He's dry humping him now. The corner men have entered the ring. They're trying to pull him off.
But by Sugar Ray's logic, talent booker Mike August, who hasn't had a woman in 5 years, should be able to knock
out every day.
He should take the Klitschko brothers on simultaneously and beat the hell out of
them. Let me explain what happens to the chi. It has it spoils after a while, and it turns into poison.
Diminishing returns.
That's right. The chi starts off as a wonderful elixir that gives you power and energy, but eventually it goes bad, like a tainted protein shake, and it starts eating away at your veins and your soul. That's what happens when a man hangs on to the chi too long. Sugar Ray would save some chi for a couple months before he got in the ring, but then open the floodgates.
So, Sugar, no release of anything, not even with a...
Well, sometimes naturally it happens. It just comes out.
Yeah.
And then after you win the fight, you go home to your wife.
Go home. That's what the dressing room's for, baby.
Sorry.
Haven't you seen The Contender?
Yes. Say one word. I take the
fifth. Sugar Ray Leonard in studio, The Contender. Second big season, big finale coming up on Tuesday. Now, people are going to call in, try to get some tickets to that with a guess as to what Sugar Ray did on the heavy bag. David? Do you have a number?
Hey, Adam.
Yes.
What's up?
What's happening, David?
Hey, what's the record right now?
Well, I will say that Sugar Ray hit, I believe, 5:30 or something like
That's
in that
right.
neighborhood. Chuck Liddell hit like 6:45 or something. I mean, my God, that guy's got some pop. No doubt Sugar Ray could take him anyway, but the point is, if it just one lucky punch, that guy's got some
and
pop.
And for context, Dave Damashek hit 270.
I did not! I hit 270. I slipped on that mat that's on the floor. This morning, eyewitnesses can attest, I hit 521 this morning.
Shut up.
All right. Hold on, Sugar Ray's disgusting.
All right, so David,
awful.
Would you like to venture a guess?
Yeah, I'm going to guess 620.
620.
Wait a second.
For who?
Now, Sugar Ray, 5:30 was
he last hit 5:30.
Okay, I will guess 5:70.
All right, 5:70.
That's a big increase.
Let's keep moving. Let's talk to Joe. Joe?
Hey, what's happening, brother?
You want to guess Sugar Ray's number?
Sure would. Let me get 567.
567. Interesting strategy.
That's
just going
weird.
Down a few notches. Well, he wants to be the under.
I got it.
Because ultimately, we'll be going to the closest, Sergio.
Yeah, I would.
You want to talk? You want to talk a little Contender?
Yeah, I actually do.
All right.
First of all, I just want to say, great show, Adam.
Thank you.
You know, Demishek with his sports, I like him. He's good. Teresa's awesome.
Thank you.
And what's that other guy with the breast?
Oh, we had to beep that out. Well, it's what
hey,
you do
Sugar
to your
I
young
just want
buddies.
To say hi to Sugar Ray. Awesome.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, I'm the Sparklets guy. And just one question for you, Adam. I actually serve a legend, a boxing legend.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he would count as a guest if I get him to get on the phone. Boom Boom Mancini.
Oh, you could get him on the phone?
Maybe.
That'd be great.
I don't know if it'd be enough to win the week in the Outbook August competition, but still a great fighter and, you know, has a great story as well.
Yeah. I'd like to talk to him.
As most fighters do, that's the interesting thing. They all come from hard times.
Yeah,
and yes.
Great. He unfortunately killed somebody in
the ring. Yeah, that's the worst thing.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he killed a man in the ring.
He would be a good interview.
Yeah, sad,
it's
but
really
still
sad.
A notch on the belt.
But how do you live with something like that? That seems like it'd be horrible.
It was difficult for him. You know, Ray had to do a lot of soul searching.
It's happened, I mean, way more than once, unfortunately, in the sport. But there are a lot of people that kill people on the road. I mean, there are a lot of people that get into car accidents and hit old people walking across the street all the time. Doesn't mean they don't drive again.
You know, Adam, but by statistics, I mean, boxing ranks not that high.
Right. You're saying
sports. It does happen. It can happen.
Right. It's relatively safe. You'd think it'd be much higher than other sports,
true.
The deaths associated with it. But as it turns out.
Yes.
All right. Let's see. Let's keep going and talk to Isaac.
Hey,
Isaac,
what's up, Adam?
What do we got?
570.
Somebody already guessed that.
Oh, they did?
First off, how stupid do you have to be to guess what the other guy guessed or unlucky?
Okay.
575. So you're going up.
Yeah.
All right, again, the winner's going to head to the Staples Center on Tuesday.
You should remind people, Sugar Ray's previous record was 5:30.
And he only went like twice or three times this time. He didn't
twice.
Have a lot of...
Twice. Yeah. It was twice.
Dan?
Yes.
Yeah, hey, I don't want to... Thank you. I don't want to give out the answer, but I will give you this hint. I think Sugar Ray released a little chi shortly before coming into the studio, because the Sugar Ray I know... And love was packed to the brim with chi when he punched that thing last time.
Full.
This was a chi-less. He was full of chi. This is a chi-less Sugar Ray.
So if that...
Go ahead, Dan.
532.
532. Interesting. All right. Yes, I think you guys are heading the right direction toward the glass being half empty with chi rather than half full. That's what a pessimist would say. Alfred?
Hey, what's up, Adam? What up, Sugar Ray?
Hey, man.
How's it going?
Good. What do you got for us?
Last caller, he said 532, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with 530 since he released that chia, I guess.
Yeah. Right. So you're saying he got the same score he got last time?
Pretty much, or maybe even less. I don't know.
All right. Well, you hang on, and we'll find out in 1 second. Let's do one more. Let's talk to Colby. Colby?
Hey, so what's going on?
What do you think, brother?
I'm thinking 540.
540.
540, I'm betting close, man.
Even after my lengthy chi speech. 540.
People don't understand the concept of chi.
No.
Okay, that's fine. All
right. Well, maybe we should clarify. I know Ace said, when was the last time the chi was released, Sugar? I don't mean to be personal.
Less than 24 hours.
Oh, wow. Interesting. That is a man of passion.
Less than 24 hours.
He was working the speed bag, as it were.
Yeah. That's his nickname for Stallone.
Yeah. I'm guessing yesterday afternoon delight. Yes. See? I guessed it, right?
Yes, twice.
Nice.
Twice.
Wow. Jesus
Christ.
He
still got it.
You athletes are so virile. What about Stallone? Where is Stallone? He's done with Rocky's six?
Yes.
He's in fantastic shape. He must be eating like infant placenta or something.
Sly is in amazing shape.
I know, you say what you will about the guy, but the guy's 60 years old.
In amazing shape.
What's his secret?
Just amazing shape.
I think I can read between the lines.
Well, look, obviously he's got to be doing something.
HGH.
He's got to be doing something.
Am I right,
something.
Sugar Ray?
Listen, well,
why am I so low?
That's a good question. When are we going to fix that?
Gonna fix the chair. You can get closer to him if you fix his chair.
Have you seen any of the movie? Have you heard about the new Rocky VI? Have you spoken to Sly about it?
Yes, and I've heard some great reviews.
Really?
About this show. About mm-hmm. the movie. I'm sorry, the movie.
The movie.
Yes.
And when is it due out?
I have no idea.
Around Christmas, I think, or Thanksgiving.
I think you're right.
Here's the thing. I think Antonio Tarver, the light heavy who knocked out Roy Jones famously, is playing the heavyweight in the movie, right?
Yes, he is.
Antonio, fun fighter, a lot of personality. I think he's going against the aforementioned Jeff Left Hook Lacey coming up soon, because last time I spoke to Jeff, he said he was moving up in weight and going with Antonio. So that'll be, do you know anything about this, Sugar Ray?
No, but why am I so low?
That's a good question. Certainly not the chi holding him down. I'll tell you that right now.
Two afternoon delights yesterday.
Wow. All right, we need to take a break. I want to give away these tickets, right?
Yeah.
All right, so let's see who the winner was. Well, I believe that Sugar Ray, the chi-less Sugar Ray, got a 520.
Wow.
On the heavy bag, the Hooters heavy bag, which means that 530 was the closest score, which was that Alfred? Yeah.
Yeah.
Alfred was the closest score. Alfred?
Yeah.
You're calling from Los Angeles.
Yeah, I'm actually on the 5 right now.
That is a good thing, because you're going to get to go to the Contender. You can see the big finale live on Tuesday night at the Staples Center.
Great, thanks.
It's going to be awesome. And they'll have an undercard and everything as well. Also, if you have a TV set and you don't have any tickets to the show, you can watch it. The Contender finale live Tuesday, 7 p.m. Yes, Bruskett, ESPN.
I was going to say, if he's also a Dodger fan, we got tickets to the Dodger game we can go to.
Well, screw those Dodgers. That's a woman's sport. This is a sport of warriors.
Sweet science.
The sweet, sweet science. All right, Sugar Ray Leonard, the great Sugar Ray Leonard. I know you got to run. It's been 4 hours. You have to have sex again. He has to have sex every 6 hours or he turns into a pumpkin.
By the way, the first fight is at 4:30 p.m. You can watch that on ESPN.com, the undercard.
And again, turn it on ESPN. Watch the finale on Tuesday live, 7 p.m. So, Sugar Ray Leonard, thank you very much.
Thanks, Adam.
And I'll tell you what, Sugar Ray, you don't need the Contender to come by. You come by anytime you want to chat. Anytime you're feeling a little low. Anytime you're feeling like, well, you need a little boost or a little shot of chi, you swing by the studio.
Thank you, buddy.
You bring joy. When you come in, everyone's happy.
That's right. Sugar Ray Leonard will be back with Friday's Bitch Bag after this.
And 866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. The Carolla Show tribe has gathered together for a little something we call the Friday Bitch Bag. Everyone has to put a complaint about another staffer into the bag. And when the tribe has spoken, the person with the most complaints has to read them live on the air. Who's it going to be? Let's find out on the Adam Carolla Show.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have the bitch bag right in front of me. Chris Angel, Mind Freak, is out there getting ready to come in as well.
Sugar Ray's interesting guy. Sugar Ray's not. You see him run out of here as soon as he saw he couldn't hit the punching bag as hard as Damashek? I'm out of here.
Sugar Ray hit it with his left hand, and this is what makes boxers so scary, as we always discuss. They'll knock you out with either hand. If you get into a street fight, here's my big tip for everyone, unless you're fighting me. I don't want you to use my own advice against me, but if you're in a street fight, don't worry about the guy's front hand. He'll never use it. He'll use his front hand to try to paw, to try to swat, to try to do anything. Just worry about his right hand, the hand that's behind him. That's the one he's going to try to club you with, and you should see it coming. Boxers, the thing that makes boxers scary is they'll knock you out with their front hand, which can reach you a little bit faster because it's up front, and they don't have to move it that much to knock you out. They don't have to pull back and throw the haymaker. Sugar Ray threw with his left hand. And he's
529, I think.
529 with his left hand. He's not a southpaw, and he didn't pull it back very far. He just stood there, turned it over, and popped it with a left hook and got over 500, no problemo. Tad, who packs a wallop, who's 330 pounds, peeled back and threw his right like the thing could have cleared Brusca in a barn before it made contact and scored about the same score. So that's what makes boxers scary. Quick, short, and bad hand. All right. Well, he doesn't have a bad hand or a bad phallus, evidently. Sugar Ray, a man of passion. One more reason to love the great Sugar Ray.
He had an undercard and a main event yesterday with his wife.
That's right. All right. We will now reach into the bitch bag. This is something we do every Friday. We did a special version of it on Monday because we're out of town. But as it dictates, Friday is the day we pull from the bitch bag. Now, no one is immune this week. I will pull the names out. We will tabulate it, and we'll decide who is the recipient of this week's bitch bag. First one right out of the gate, Teresa.
What? I have a little agita already. I'm a little nervous.
Now, I got to say, it's always mixed feelings about Teresa because I do, on the other hand, I like her personally and professionally, and I hate to see her break down and cry. On the other hand, nothing funnier.
Don't it really is.
Teresa cry.
That's going to be my only one.
Number two, Mike August. Booker Mike August. And I must say this as well, judging from the 1 hour argument that Brusca and August had yesterday in the studio after the show. 1 hour.
I've never seen grown men screaming at each other at that volume.
I, at a certain point, left because I couldn't take it anymore. Went and did some business and came back, and they're still arguing. And then it was nice just to walk by the glass and see them arguing. It went on for at least 1 hour.
I decided to keep my front row seat. It was spellbinding.
Well, Mike August has a name in the bitch bag as well. Angie. Producer Angie.
Wow.
How could that be?
She was in a couple times recently.
Yes, she was.
Big Gay Brian.
What?
Sound effects man.
It says Big Gay Brian on the thing.
No, he said it himself.
Oh.
No, it says Big Gay Brian.
Come on.
I disagree. It's not that big. It's 170
pounds. Wait a second. So four votes in, four different nominees.
We are really, it is a mixed bag this week's bitch bag. Jerron.
What?
Jerron, the only black man at the Prima Notte last night.
Flip-flops.
Flip-flops, sunglasses. There was Jerron.
Fraternity belt buckle.
Ran into him yesterday. Uh-oh, Jerron again.
Oh.
Intern Jerron. Although he's been moved up from intern to what?
Production assistant.
Let's just call him Goomba or Lackey or something. That doesn't sound insulting enough.
I think Peon you liked.
Second one for world-class booker Mike August. All right, so Jerron 2, August 2. Everyone else has one. Angie. Sir Angie.
Whoa.
A another vote.
She stole people's booze or something? That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah. She doesn't call it booze. She calls it medicine.
She calls it mommy's milk.
Jerron, 2. Mike August, 2. Producer Angie, 2. Now Dave.
It's a matter of time.
Dave Damashek and his number one sports. A third one for Mike August. Well, do we have a tie? Mike August is the leader in the clubhouse now with 3. Jerron has 2. Angie, 2. Dave, 2. And the last name I pull out of the bitch bag, Mike August. Well, Mike, you will get a chance to defend yourself. But first, you're going to have to read these live over the air.
Yes.
We need to take a break. Yes, Mike August, go ahead.
What gives?
I don't know, but it's been a rough 24 hours
barely
for you at this show.
You have to get a hell of a lot rougher.
You're fired.
Bruska got 0. Everybody pretty much on the staff got at least 1.
This is my first bitch since I had the big bitch meltdown of 06 a month ago. It's my first one.
I think people are feeling, they were intimidated.
I turned my life around, Adam.
No, Teresa's been wonderful. She really has been great.
Thank you.
And by the way, I did not buy any votes this time. This was completely unaided. Mike August won completely unaided.
Well, I
swear on my life.
I will just say this. I can see the screws coming loose for Mike August from here. I saw him beginning to come undone yesterday. This could be unpleasant / entertaining / sad. But we'll find out. Will it be one of those?
/ wrist.
Or all the above. The bitch bag continues after this on the Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. We're inside the Friday morning bitch bag.
I want to go on record as saying I think this is a bad idea.
Where each staff member makes an anonymous complaint about another staff member. He who has the most complaints has to read them on the air.
And he has to drool over women who get paid to have sex. I bet you couldn't pay them to have sex with him.
You're a total gossip. I love myself. Have you known me at all in the last time? I'm the most insecure person here.
This is your first venture in radio, but just in case it isn't your last, let me tell you a few things.
Whoa.
Do your effing job. Stay off the air.
This is hard.
Yeah, I could care less. I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to whine for 2 hours.
The only thing that's funny is we're adults, and we do this for a living.
And this week's bitch belongs to power booker Mike August on the Adam Carolla Show.
Mike August, the normally mild-mannered Mike August, whose body is being poisoned by his own chi. We figured out.
Now
we decide with Sugar Ray Leonard, a certain amount of chi is good to have. That's why you'd abstain from sex or anything else for a month before the big fight. But if you're going on year number 4, it is now eating your body like a chi cancer.
Turned to poison.
Now, his sexless streak began in the 20th century, though.
So start. Oh, really?
Do we go? No,
we're not going back that far.
No.
Oh, it's Big Tad who's coming on 4 years.
That's great.
6 years?
No, it's got to be more like 4.
Sorry.
Why are you looking at me?
Because he's looking at me.
The idea that you cry, the idea that you don't know is the most frightening part. And there's nothing
Would
wrong.
Would you want to keep a careful count of this? Would you?
There's nothing wrong with Mike August. Let that go down in the book. Although, yesterday, him and Brusco went at it in a way I'd not seen. You know, usually Mike just sort of sleepwalks his way through the show. He doesn't listen. He has his head buried in his computer. He's checking his MySpace while Brusco's telling them who to book. But yesterday, he turned on him. It got ugly. It was ugly it was way more than 45 minutes. I mean, it wasn't a half hour worth of yelling, was
this
it?
This studio has not seen action like that since Teresa's bitch bag, probably, literally.
Yeah, it was a lot of yelling, a lot of voices raised, and now the bitch bag. So, Mike, I'm prepared for the worst, but let's hear it.
Let's open envelope number 1.
Start.
You get this bitch for taking money away from a poor PA. Jerron should get that $500. Yeah, for a Tony Hawk booking.
People were a little upset. This whole Outbook August and September thing may have been an idea that, while entertaining, turns out causing a lot of bad blood with Mike August, who obviously feels like he's the best at doing his job. Jerron made a huge tactical error by not taking the $500 last week for the best booking and rolling it over. He didn't need to do it, but he rolled it over this week, and now it looks like Mike August may walk away with this week and Jerron's money from last week. That's all right. Jerron's a wealthy man who just chooses to live with his grandpa in Inglewood.
You mess with the bull, you get the horns, Jerron.
All right. Oh. Keep going, bull. By the way, you know, bulls get laid every once in a while.
Really?
Yeah, more of a sow.
Envelope number two. My bitch is for you because I can't vote for Brusque anymore. The last time I did, he cried so hard he peed his pants. Thank you, Mike Dawson.
Wow.
I cried.
A turn.
I don't think I cried. Wow. But keep reading. Mike Dawson, editor. I'm going to edit him off the show.
Don't cry! Hold it back! August. For arguing with Brusca yesterday when he said you overbooked today's show and you said he didn't know how to produce the show. Now, I didn't say he didn't know how to produce the show. That's not even true.
I think you said he didn't effing know how to produce the
show. I said, listen, accurate. I don't produce the show. I booked the show. If the show's overbooked, that's not my fault because you put the elements in the show, not me.
Yes, it is. And you'll read it right now.
Let me also explain one of the reasons why the argument between Brusca and Mike August went on for an hour yesterday, because neither one of them listened. So when you're arguing back and forth with two guys that don't listen...
It was ridiculous. It was like two parallel arguments.
What could have been... Yes, it was like somebody was in Ben Stein's booth arguing with another guy in Ben Stein's booth. It could have been solved in 10 minutes, except for neither one of you listen. You tune each other out and then make the same argument over and over again.
Fortunately, I was there to remind each other what they had just said.
Dave Damashek was keeping the minutes of the argument and would remind each participant.
I want a poll taken because I had the weight of the room with me. Don't even back away from that.
All right. Well, read this
lengthy. Look at Damashek shaking his head.
Program director Jack Silverstein with me, but keep going.
My case is made. Mike August, for not being able to say no to publicists and booking way too many C-level guests like Mike Epps, and then defending this policy by screaming like a lunatic in yesterday's meeting. Remember, this is the Adam Carolla show, not the Ron Popeil or the Ken Howard show. And don't yell at anyone on the show. All the women hate you, August. If you can't get an A-level guest, at least be nice to people in the office.
Wow.
Wait, can I say this? I don't hate you, Mike August.
See? You slid in. You're alienating the other women by saying that.
They already hate me.
This rambling, paranoid email. It's going to go 16 different ways.
To be fair about the women in the office, they don't hate Mike
That's
August.
Not true.
They are creeped out by Mike August, which is worse than hating.
It's not all of them. I think one of them in particular doesn't like you.
Yes. I get a lot of complaints.
From the women that he's hitting on them?
There's some creep. I'm not going
to. To be fair, only the blondes hate him.
I was going to say, now I'm insulted because you've never creeped me out. Not good enough for you to hit on?
Listen, we know there's one tiny parasite in the ointment that
spreads. She tasted like champagne.
Well, Teresa, to be fair, you live with 7,500 pedophiles that you could hit with a rock from your kitchen. So maybe you're not as sensitive as a lot of women are.
I wouldn't even notice.
Or just cool.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right, this is uncomfortable. I think we need to break. Are you finished with the bitch bag, Mike?
I hope so. Let's get to awarding August his just reward for this tremendous week of bookings.
Is there
Let's
any chance about that. You would give that $500 to Jerron since he does live with his grandparents in Inglewood?
There was a chance until I read card number one.
Now he's going to keep that money.
Jerron's going to have to learn a hard lesson.
$1,000 goes a long way for a guy
for
who doesn't even
bag.
Buy socks.
Yeah. Leaves in a body bag.
All right, mind freak Chris Angel is here. Magician, illusionist. Perhaps you could get him to lift the curse that's on your genitalia. Maybe we should have an exorcism to see if we could lift the curse that's on Mike August's genitalia. That would be nice.
Let's try that.
Come out! We will take a quick break. Mind Freak Chris Angel after this.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. Call 866-901-ADAM. And now Mind Freak Chris Angel on the Adam Carolla Show.
Good to see you again, Chris.
Hey, man. Thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Mind Freak with Chris Angel, Wednesday nights, 10 o'clock A&E. Second season. Just finished that one. Working on the third season.
We got like two more weeks of second season, and now I'm working on third, so there's still new episodes there.
How do you figure out, I mean, do you mastermind these illusions? Do you call them illusions? They're more than tricks.
Well, a lot of what I do is real. Like, as far as some of the demonstrations, when I hang by four fish hooks through my flesh from a helicopter. And then some of it's completely pure illusion. So, basically, yeah, I'm the brainchild. It's a love-hate relationship, but I have to come up with 300 effects every season. So it's pretty painstaking.
In
like a week.
Are you able to...
with the budget that we get.
Are you able to thoroughly test them out?
No, absolutely not. That's what makes it interesting, and I think that's what makes it provocative, is that I'm, you know, in these highly, you know, public places trying to do these demonstrations that I don't know at the end of the day, is it going to 100% work? Am I going to get bagged, you know, with somebody with a cell phone and a camera? Is it going to be on the internet? And,
right.
You know, it's challenging,
so
to say the least.
Do you look at yourself as a magician or stuntman?
An artist that uses a lot of, you know, I write music, I performance art, illusions, mentalism, escapes, and I kind of just put it together to try to create, hopefully, some type of experience that will connect to people on some emotional level.
What do you think of David Blaine?
Who?
Oh. I've never met... You know the thing that's great about, well, life in general? Doctors hate other doctors. Magicians hate other magicians.
Nah, I don't hate anybody.
But you think he's kind of a hack.
Morning radio show guys hate other morning radio show guys.
I'll be honest with you. I'll tell you why. I had mad props for him for, you know, coming by and seeing one of my demonstrations. I didn't realize he came by to rip off my demonstration. I think it was in 2002, I was underwater for 24 hours in Times Square. I was live on Good Morning America for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on the cover of the Daily News, and I was successful in doing it, too.
Yes, he was not.
And in any event, a few years later, he went and bit my thing. But you know what? Let him do card tricks, and, you know, the world's a big place for everybody.
Well, he did the levitating thing for me one time.
About 2 inches?
In the flesh. How'd you know what I was sporting? I got excited,
from the ground.
Yes. I was aroused by the man. He's good looking. No, he came into Loveline with Fiona Apple. I think. And again, his greatest illusion is banging models consistently.
Yeah.
That is the greatest trick that man
pulls
off.
Although Chris Angel has been linked to Minnie Driver.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Minnie Driver. Yeah, what's going on with that? That's what we hear.
She needed a ride home from Cancun. So actually, she came up to me and she said, you know, a lot of people come up to me and ask me, like, you know, Chris, can you levitate? Can you do this? Can you rip your body in two pieces?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes women come up to me and they say, can you increase my breast size by one cup?
Mm-hmm.
Being the good guy that I am, you know, I have to touch the breast because I emanate the energy from my fingertips. And therefore, same situation with Minnie. I was in Mexico, didn't know that there were people taking pictures, and got a good firm grip of her breasts. And I was I'm happy to say that, yes, they are one cup size bigger, and you can ask her yourself.
Mm. Wow. Can you do Dave's scrotum?
No, I'm a, I stay away from that.
By the way, I'm an A cup.
What, would you like to be a B cup?
No, I don't. You've already got Minnie.
Bobby! Not about that.
It's going to be... No, Minnie's now Biggie.
Yeah, she's Maxi. He's a doctor of sorts.
Yes.
Yeah.
You want a bigger cup, but you don't want to go under the knife. Can you make her nose smaller with your hand?
At the same time, can you do?
No, I think her nose is quite nice,
Thank you very much.
Pull a dove out of her vagina.
I was hoping for something else I could pull out of there.
Chris is going to do, I don't know what you want to call it.
I don't have no idea. I was just going to try and experiment with your listeners so that they can call in and, you know, just kind of see if I can kind of make them feel like they're in control, but in reality, I'm going to control their minds.
You are?
Yeah, I'm going to try. I don't know. It's a bit of psychology, and so I'm just going to ask everybody, should I do it right now, Adam?
Well, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I want everybody to think of a number between 1 and 10. Actually, guys think of an odd number, and women think of an even number between 1 and 10.
All right, I'm going to do this. Wait, did you say God? Did you say guys?
Guys and odd number?
Odd.
Women
okay.
and even number between 1 and 10.
I have
all right.
And now I'm going to ask you to, I'm going to just recite each number, and after I say each number, I'm just going to say a random word. When you hear your number, remember the word I say that correlates with your number.
Now, do we want to talk to people? Because
afterwards,
if we do, I should tell them to call up at 866-901-ADAM so we can have a full phone bank
after,
to play
after
this game.
Yeah, after I finish this, yeah.
Okay.
So you have a number now. Everybody has a number between 1 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
Again, men, odd, women, even. Now I'm going to recite some of the numbers, 1 to 10. Say a word. Just remember the word that correlates with your number. So number 1, shiny silver. Number 2, yarn. Number 3, cutlery. Number 4, golden color. Number 5, highly polished. Number 6, ball. Number 7, sharp. Number 8, cat's toy. Number 9, carving tool. Number 10, round shaped. Okay.
All nicknames for my penis, by the way. Carving tool, my favorite.
So I want you to...
Cat's toy scares me a little.
So it can get painful, yeah. No trick, no illusion there.
So you have
Blaine's not going to rip that one off. Sorry.
So you have a word that is associated with your number. Remember that. Now I'm going to just say some other random words, and I want you to think of the word that best, you know, kind of lines up or, you know, makes sense with the word that you're already thinking of, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. So whatever word makes sense with the, you know, kind of correlates somehow, just remember that. Blue felt tip pen, postage stamp, carving knife, yellow ball of yarn, oil painting, South Sea beach, stagecoach, antique grandfather clock, Chinese tea set, and a box of matches.
All names for T's vagina, by the way.
This is weird. Go.
Does everybody have one?
Yes.
That made sense with the number. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I want the, right now I want the men to just think about that item falling right now on their head.
Mm.
Oh, actually you may want to move because you're thinking of a carving knife, am I correct?
Well, you are with me.
And the women don't have to worry because it's just a yellow ball of yarn.
That's right.
What gives?
Wow.
You climbed inside your mind. You know what you do to Broska? How you enter his mind through his ear?
Right.
On a nightly basis? That's what Chris Angel just
well,
did.
Well, I don't want dark-sided stuff.
A mass experiment in controlling people's minds, letting them feel like they're in control of, you know, what they want to pick or what they want to do. But in reality, it's all about, you know, control.
Chuck is on the phone. Chuck.
Hello.
I know you were on the phone before the little mind control experiment. You had a question for Chris Angel.
Hey, Chuck, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up? Big fan.
Thank you, man.
You do a trick on TV, and I was hoping to find it on DVD or on your website so I could show my girlfriend it. You put a quarter and you ran it down your arm, and then you cut your arm open and took the quarter out. Thought it was amazing.
Thank you very much. That's actually season one of Mind Freak, which is available, I think, it is on my website. Season one, the whole first season on, and that's one of the effects that I did in that season.
Is your website chrisangel.com?
Yeah, but I forgot how to spell it. How would you spell that, Chris Angel?
C-R-I-S-S, Angel, A-N-G-E-L.
You can also get the soundtrack, which is out now, yes?
Yes, the soundtrack is out now, and very proud of it. It's 22 tracks. Sully from Godsmack, Jonathan Davis of Korn, Andy Johns, famous producer of Led Zeppelin and stuff. Uh-huh. And then it comes with the 40-minute DVD, the making of the soundtrack. It's the official soundtrack of Season 1 and 2 of Mind Freak, and it's available now. At my website, screw the record company. They suck.
Can you do the levitation thing? And how does Blaine do that levitation thing?
Well, I'm actually going to teach that levitation thing in a new DVD I have coming out called Master Mind Freaks. It's not Blaine's. It's been out. It's called the Balducci Levitation. It's been out forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be available in the next 6 weeks on my website or on my book coming up through HarperCollins.
Yeah, because like I was saying, he did it for me in person on the way to the bathroom. I was caught off guard.
Yeah, he'd do it in the corner. I could do it. It's not a big deal.
Turns his back to you a little bit, which makes you a little suspicious, makes you think maybe he's going up on the ball of one foot.
That is what he's doing.
Well, because why else would you turn the back? A lot of people, I mean, the key, and you stop me if I'm wrong here, Chris Angel, but when there's a component of the trick that doesn't seem to be necessary, that's the one you need to focus on. Why does someone need to turn their back to you or at least turn at a three-quarter stance to levitate? Wouldn't it be more impressive if they just stood? It faced you and levitated.
Right. Well, there are, you know, obviously technical parameters that you have to do for some of this stuff. But I don't know if you saw the in season two of Mind Freak, I levitated from a building to another building and did a levitation with a spectator in the middle of Fremont Street, which is completely challenging. Because
you
she
mean
was,
in Vegas?
Yeah, right. In Vegas on Fremont Street, 4 feet off the ground, 3 feet off the ground, levitated her 360 degrees and around. So it wasn't like about going up an inch. I was floating from a second story building to another building out in the middle of the daytime in Las Vegas, first time it's ever been done.
What do you think about like the Penn and Tellers of the world?
Penn and Teller, they're like proponents. They're good, dear friends of mine. Penn, I've done his show. Actually, it's on here, right? his show.
Yeah. So you've been to his house?
Oh, it's the compound.
Yeah.
Yeah, just don't go in the jacuzzi.
Yeah. Penn is one of these guys that's, well, here's the way I feel about sexuality. It's hot when a 22-year-old blonde is open about her sexuality, but when a 45-year-old, 6'7", 400-pound guy with a ponytail is open about his sexuality, it becomes a little creepy. He's like, here's where I stand. I had the steps put in this hot tub exactly 4 feet apart because that's exactly the stance I take when I hover over it, receiving copious amounts of oral. It's like, oh, please. His wife's standing right there. It's 9:30 in the morning. Hey. It's hot. It's out in the desert. It's like, all right, come on.
The jacuzzi is filled with chi?
It is. He gives you a sex tour of his compound and then explains that he has a part in his jacuzzi that has a patent number signed to it because he took it to the U.S. Patent Office that is solely made for stimulating women.
Oh.
A water jet with his name and number on it, and then goes on to explain about all the hookers and prostitutes. Meanwhile, the old lady standing right there, I think he enjoys doing it in front of her. It makes you horribly uncomfortable, but you think, probably teach my wife a few tricks.
Well, Chris Angel, mind freak, you wouldn't do that to Minnie Driver.
No, Minnie and I are just friends.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, we're just good friends.
All right.
With making benefits. The rumor disappear.
No, with benefits. Okay. No, I'm just joking. No, we're just good friends.
Now, did we talk to Nikki before? Nikki?
Yes.
What's up, baby doll?
Nothing. I just really wanted to say hi to Chris Angel. And thank you very much for everything he does, because I love it so much.
Nikki, thank you so much. How old are you?
I'm 25. Oh, my God. I'm freaking out right now.
What do you look like, Nikki?
I have black hair. I don't know.
I'm getting an image.
What is she thinking about, Chris?
I'm sorry. What do you think? What did you say?
I just love so much, and I love your show.
Oh, no.
I knew you were going to say it. I should have told you to beep it. I'm sorry. But listen, thank you so much for watching the show. And really, I want to thank you and everybody else that's listening for watching it, because you guys have made it so successful, and I would be nothing without you. So thank you.
I'm not a mind freak, but my sweet spirits are saying junior college about Nikki. That's all I'm good for. Nikki,
yes.
Please don't scream the F word again into the radio, but I feel junior college, your past, your future, something to do with junior college.
No, just trying to make a photography business.
How old are you?
25, I think. Yeah. I feel it's 25.
Feels 25. Have you ever attended junior college?
No.
Really? But no, you didn't go to regular college either.
Yeah, I did for a while.
Oh, okay. The sweet spirit is saying San Diego State.
No, Oregon, actually. I live in Oregon. So.
Oregon State?
Adam, you have to make it more general than that.
Explain how to. Oh, I like this part. I like this cop out. Well, you've not been to junior college. You're not attending junior college. You will be going to junior college one day. I like that one.
Well,
I like
friend or your sister.
I'm getting a J. I'm getting a J. Is there someone with a J? No. Well, think about it. Well, there is a friend, family member, someone you don't know. Perhaps there's somebody I haven't met yet whose name starts with a J. All right, because it's going to happen.
Well, what does she do to support herself while she's becoming a photographer?
Hey, buddy, Nikki. I tell you, get those flash cubes ready. The Ansel Adams of strippers is hitting the stage. I tell you, take a picture of her half domes. She's a hot one. Although she will be blurting out profanity, so if you're easily offended, step back from the stage. Could you grin and chop your linen? Nikki, stage five. Jade, stage four, stage five. She's stupid, but she can snap a picture. I tell you what, right now. Big Chris Angel fan.
Oh, my God, Adam, you pegged me.
I pegged you.
Oh, Teresa, you pegged me.
Nikki, you do
Teresa,
a little...
Teresa, I love you.
Oh, thank you.
Awesome.
Do you do a little dancing, Nikki?
No.
Oh.
I actually do accounting.
Oh, that's way out.
Hey, everybody. you can crunch your number or crunch your crotch. You play it any way you want to do. McNicky's coming to stay. Hey, everybody, Chris Angel, Mind Freak coming in. Chris, what's going on, my man? Everyone, turn attention. Chris Angel, what's going on, Chris Angel? How about you levitate your genitalia? Change, change, four, change, four.
She makes your W-2 a W-9.
Oh, all right, man. Where the hell were we?
Sorry, Nikki.
Chris, Angel, I'm sorry we're plumb out of time. We got to have my dog pick.
So it's a lot of show to probably do a better job than me.
I don't know.
I think he is the real mind freak.
I'm
dog.
Telling you, you got me on Molly. That part where you climbed inside my head and talked about the shiny knives falling on it.
Yeah, Angel, shouldn't you be able to pick these football games?
You know, I don't feel the energy in the room right now to be able to achieve such greatness. You know, I just don't feel it. The energy is not good energy here.
He doesn't have his chi. He left it in
I left my chi with, yeah.
He left his chi on driver. Yeah. Chris Angel, Mind Freak, Wednesday nights, 10 o'clock, A&E. And look out for the Mind Freak
guys,
soundtrack.
Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it. Adam, all the best, man. Congratulations.
Thanks, Chris. Always good to see him. We'll thank be you. Back with the football picks, news, and sports. Yes, and Larry Johnson.
Ah. There you go.
Thank you. I know you're pointing at a 5'9 white guy, Lindsay, and yelling Larry Johnson. It's
confusing. I wrote the card. It said Larry Johnson clearly on the card.
No, I know. I was yelling at Lindsay, who's pointing at a short white man when we were talking
Chris
about
Angel,
Larry
make
Johnson.
Make the tension disappear.
It's impossible. We'll take a quick break. Back with running back, all-star running back, Chiefs running back, Larry Johnson, going to help out the football picks, news and sports after this.
Asked for it, now you've got it. Less ads, more Adam. The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. Call 866-901-ADAM.
First down and goal to go at the one. High set. Richardson the fullback. Johnson the tailback. Trent Green sends Dunn. Dunn. Tip-tap motion. Hand off Johnson. He goes!
Kansas City Chiefs running back Larry Johnson on the Adam Carolla Show.
Larry Johnson, Pro Bowler. Larry Johnson going to sit in with us and help us make our football picks this week. Welcome to the show, Larry.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good to see you. He's also in town doing an Xbox promotion. How does that work? Xbox, that's what I call all my old girlfriends, by the way. I also hear it's a video game as well, but right. I just know them as Xbox.
You know why? Because you got class.
Yeah. Right.
You don't call them PlayStations.
Some other guy playing on my Xbox as we speak, I'm sure. Larry, you're going to be playing. Well, now, what are you going to be playing on your Xbox later on today, and how does this work?
Basically, it's the Tournament of Champions, the poker game on Xbox 360 Live. And what we're doing is, you know, before you can just talk on your headset, but now they have a gamer vision where you can also see who you're playing against and kind of, you know, talk back and forth and see the person. So, you know, if you want to talk trash, you get to see what the person looks like, you know what he does with his life, and you can pretty much, you know, gauge your insults and comebacks off that. So it'll be better than just talking into the dark.
I was watching a commercial for, I don't know what gaming company it was, or if it was Xbox or what it was, but just in general, everything is not only the graphics amazing, but it's no longer just what's going on the court or on the field or on the field of battle or whatever it is. They're now going into the lives. Guys are getting into arguments with their agents and accountants. They're knocking up chicks they met in the lobby of the hotel. It has turned into a virtual life now. I don't know. I wonder. I think that might be dangerous.
Yeah, I think so. But it'd be a good way for some guys to practice how to pay alimony payments and child support, how much you pay child support from week to week.
Well, it is kind of interesting that if you want to be a pilot, you get in a simulator. And if you're a young guy who's getting millions of dollars and you're entering the NFL or the NBA, perhaps there should be some sort of simulator that involves whores and lobbies, involves shady guys who claim to be cousins of yours wanting to manage your accounts and things like that. Why not?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
Work on that.
Now, Larry,
whether
it's the Chiefs or Xbox or both, somebody's paying you because you are blinged out. Look
I've
at that watch.
I've never seen a watch like that. It's entirely made of diamonds, but it's a big, chunky watch.
What's that go for?
at least about 100 grand. I got it in Vegas. When I first got drafted, that was basically when I took my paycheck.
Oh, a little present to yourself.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Mm. They normally don't see the brothers with the blingy on them. It's normally the heavy set white linemen.
Jay Fiedler is
Siragusa. Guys like that. A lot of, oftentimes kickers, a lot of the punters will do that. But
it's,
Well, when you go to the Pro Bowl, that's what you get to do. Also, I'm reading here, of course, I was a fan, but I did not know that Larry Johnson set the franchise record with 1,750 yards and didn't start seven of those games.
Oh, yeah.
That is absolutely amazing.
He's arguably the best in the game, yes? Is that how do you rank yourself among with Sean Alexander, LaDainian Tomlinson, so on and so forth?
I think LaDainian Tomlinson is first because he's been doing it so consistently, and then Sean Alexander edging James when he was with the Colts and now get back on track, and then Jamal Lewis, he went over 2,000 yards, and I would place myself, you know, a little bit after those guys because those guys have been doing it so consistently over a number of years, but now it's an age where those guys are going to have hopefully move on, and then, and you know, we're falling behind Tiki Barber, and it's going to be Willis McGahee, me, you know, the younger backs now going to start taking over a little bit.
Did you pick Larry in your fantasy football, or as I like to call it, fairy tale football league?
If only I could have. I was stuck at in the eighth slot. But yes, I encouraged everybody with the first couple picks, take Larry Johnson. Do you have a fantasy team, Larry?
No, my brother has a fantasy team, and I don't really get into it.
Your brother has one?
My brother's a fat white guy
who doesn't get laid?
No.
Because that's the only... That's the only guys I know play in the fantasy football league.
It broke a barrier. Your brother actually plays the fantasy.
Yeah, it's crazy now. You got a lot of rappers that they're into it now. Like I get, you know, emails of different guys. Like Lil Wayne, you know, pick me first in this. Right? It's crazy. Like, you know,
what about Jay-Z?
I don't think Jay-Z has time to play fantasy football.
Did your brother pick you, I hope?
Yeah, he picked me. He had no choice.
That's wise. Smart.
Well, you guys, yeah, that would be an uncomfortable Thanksgiving if it turned out you weren't on his team. All right, well, speaking of picks, you're going to help us make some football picks here. I've been getting crushed. I overall am 3-5. Dave is an astonishing 7-1. My dog Molly is 3-5 as well. Over the last 2 weeks, we've been picking four games a week, and porn star Jessie Jane is 0-4 both weeks.
The busty cop, huh?
She does not.
You know her work.
Yeah.
He's on Larry. The athletes have fantasy porn teams. Jessie goes. She goes in the first round every year.
Double penetration.
Perennial all pro. Jessie?
Hi.
Great to speak to you.
Me too.
You a fan of Larry Johnson?
I am. Hi, baby.
Hey, how you doing?
Ironically, she just worked with a guy named Harry Johnson. All right, so we're ready to make the picks. We have Molly here. We have Jesse on the phone. Larry's going to help us out. Let's start with St. Louis, the Rams, traveling to Arizona. Arizona is going to be giving away 4.5 points.
Corolla's beloved Rams.
On this game. I can't stand my Rams. They make me so damn angry. You know, they lose.
That's only because you love them.
I know, but they're the worst team to bet on. They're all over the place, but maybe the second worst team is Arizona. Who the hell knows on this one? I'm just going to go Rams because it's over a field goal, and I feel like the game may be relatively close. Let's see what Molly does. Molly
is the dog making her bet.
She went to the kibble on which team?
On the Rams, and now she's sleeping on the card that says Rams. Pull that out from under her.
So Molly goes with the Rams, and Adam goes with
the Rams as well. Jesse, Jane, how say you?
Well, I'm going to go with the Rams because I like to get Rams. So.
I didn't see that one coming.
Somebody else with some class.
It always inspires confidence when a porn star who's 0-8 agrees with your pick.
Larry Johnson, what do you think?
I say Rams. I say because Steven Jackson, I think we'll have a good
game. Yeah, he's a good running back. Who knows with Arizona? I mean, this is supposed to be their year. Yeah. Although when I took them last week against Seattle, they got crushed. So.
Steven Jackson, really the poor man's Larry Johnson. I think we can agree. Yes, I will go not just to go against everybody else. By the way, Larry, you should know, I am 18 of my last 19 picking against the spread in the NFL. That's unbelievable, is it not?
Yeah.
I'm the Larry Johnson of prognostics.
And when he says the spread, he means Jesse Jane. He doesn't mean the points.
I'm going to go with the Arizona Cardinals, -4.5.
Yes. All right. Yeah, I really have no idea. Arizona should play good at home and all that. It's just the fact that it's above a field goal that makes me want to go Rams.
I think high scoring, and I think the Cardinals can outshoot them.
I think they're going to get some sort of sloppy, crappy, last-minute take-it-to-the-house interception that's going to screw me on this, and I will go berserk. All right, let's keep moving forward. New York Giants at Seattle. Seattle giving away 3.5 points.
Giants, great comeback last week against the Eagles.
Yeah, a lot of folks say playing 5 quarters, maybe a little bit tired. Seahawks seem to be coming into their own.
They took the pipe to the division rival Cardinals last week.
Is Molly picking first?
All right, let's have Molly pick first, Adam, my dog Molly.
Yeah, and we put 2 pieces of paper with each team name and kibble on each piece of paper and see where she goes.
She wants Seahawks. Hard to tell. It's 3.5 points. I think it's going to be more like a field goal, so I'm going to go with the Giants on this one. Porn star Jesse Jane, how say you?
You know what? I'm going to go with Seattle.
Okay.
Why?
Because I can't tell you. I'm on a plane right now. People are looking at me.
Oh, come on. You can tell us.
She's so demure. Yeah.
I like her little voice.
Larry Johnson, Giants at Seattle.
Giants. I'd take the Giants.
Ooh. Take the Giants. Yeah, they're on a roll. Don't think Seattle is what they were last year.
LJ's getting in my head there. I don't like that. He was so definitive with that. But I am going to go with the Seahawks -3.5 at home.
All right. Again, he is 7-1 overall. Next game, we all picked up on this one. Philly -6.5 at San Francisco.
A lot of points. 49ers been looking good early in the season.
Yes, they have, and it's tough. Philly, of course, was sort of snake bit last week by the Giants. I feel like they're playing good ball overall. They're either going to come out flat and still disappointed from last week, or they're going to take it out on the 49ers. I think they're going to win by 7, so I'm going to go with Philly at San Francisco, and I'll give away the 6.5. Molly? How say you? Going Eagles as well.
I've got to turn my phone off now.
All right, Jesse, Eagles, Eagles or San Francisco?
I'm going to go with Eagles because I like a foot-long Philly. I like a meaty.
All right.
Thanks, Jesse.
Well, we'll have maybe Molly pick for Jesse in her last pick. So where are we? Larry, what do you think?
I think Philly.
You're going Philly.
Yeah, I'm going Philly.
In spite of the 6.5?
In spite of the 6.5.
Your next opponents are the 49ers.
Yes.
Larry Johnson, NFL All-Pro, says yes.
I am going to go with the Eagles as well. I'm very nervous about that one, though.
Yeah, that is. San Fran is playing good at home, but Philly and McNabb.
Eagles defense will rise good, up and shut down that offense.
All right, last game. Denver at New England. New England is giving away 7 points. I pray that New England loses each and every week. Well, you can do the math over the last 4 or 5 years, started when they beat my beloved Rams in the Super Bowl. They keep winning, and I feel like I'm sort of snake bit when it comes to life and gambling. I feel like the only way to get them to lose is to actually put money on them. So I'm going to go New England. Denver looks flat this year. New England, I think, is starting to hit on all cylinders.
Well, they look lousy. They played the Bills and the Jets and didn't look like world beaters in either game.
Right, but Denver beat them in the playoffs. I think there's a little score to settle, and they're at home. I feel like it's the old New England. I'm going New England on this one. Molly, how say you, Mutt? Going with the Pats as well on this one. Larry Johnson, what do you think?
I think Denver. I hate Denver, but, you know, the defense is incredible. And then New England's offense has struggled. They gave away everybody.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So you hate the city of Denver or you hate the team?
I hate the team.
Okay. The city you're okay with.
The wounds are still fresh for Larry. He and the Chiefs went into Denver last week. And
I mean, I don't hate Colorado. Down. I'm not Kobe, so I don't hate Colorado.
Well, Dave, what do you say?
Well, I'm with LJ on this one again. I'm going to go Broncos. Their defense, it's been quiet because Jake Plummer's been so lousy the first two games, but their defense has been stout. I think they'll be able to slow them down enough.
Yeah. Well, I just figured out how it's going to end up now. New England wins. Last second field goal doesn't cover the spread, but yet walks away with the W. Therefore, Sheck wins, and so does New England.
Time will tell, Ace. Time will tell.
All right. Well, again, your picks have been stellar. We'll tabulate them and tell you on Monday how it turned out. Larry Johnson, thank you very much for coming in here.
No problem.
Thank you very much for being candid. A lot of guys go, I don't pick against the spread, but you're living in reality, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Maybe you'll get a call from Roger Goodell, the new commissioner, but so be it.
And speaking of reality, go get yourself one of those Xboxes. Plug yourself in. Put your helmet on, go into your virtual world, and slip away into a place where all women are prostitutes and all cars are race cars. Yes?
Yeah, should have an Xbox porn game.
Yeah, that's next. That's next, and then my NFL simulator as well. Larry, good luck. You don't need it this week. We've got the bye week coming up, but next week after that, we'll be watching you play San Francisco. We'll take a quick break. News. What? And sports. Tee up the news quickly before we go to break.
Salma Hayek, what one part of her body does she hate about herself? That and more.
All that after this.
You and me. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. Next week, Adam and the crew are live from New York City. We'll be pulling in a bunch of New York celebrities to join us on the show. But the real issue here is that the Ace Man gets to wake up 3 hours later. The Adam Carolla Show, live from New York City, is powered by TravelWorm.com. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, but I will be going to bed. I will say, oh, I don't have to get up. I'm going to bed at 3:34 in the morning. I still have to wake up at 7 or whatever the hell it is.
Sweet irony.
All right, where are we? Not much time left, so let's push forward with the news in Teresa Strasser.
I'm going to skip all the hard news and get to something soft. Selma Hayek.
Yeah,
now I'm hard.
Oh, all right. She's a producer of one of the shows that's getting a lot of attention on the fall slate from ABC. It's called Ugly Betty. It's adapted from a telenovela, and it's about a not typically attractive girl working in the fashion industry in a magazine.
We stole it from a Mexican soap opera?
It's actually a soap opera from Colombia, and all over the world they have Ugly Betty.
Quick heads up to anyone in the industry who's listening, who does this thing, because I've had these pitch meetings before. Oh, this show is it's huge in England. It's huge in England. It's huge in Canada. Now we've stooped to Mexico. Listen, this is the United States, entertainment capital world, right here. We shouldn't be stealing other people's sloppy seconds.
Well, let me say this about Ugly Betty. I've actually seen the pilot, and it is really good. I loved it.
God
but
damn you.
Here's... Sorry. Here's Selma Hayek. She was on Oprah, and she was asked if she ever felt unattractive, and she said something unusual. She said that growing up short made her feel like an ugly Betty.
Mm-hmm. I felt ugly Betty many, many, many times. You know, I'm very short, so when I was growing up, people made fun of me as if it was like a birth defect or a deformity, and I belong in a circus or something, because I was short. I think we all have something that people point out to you, especially when you're growing up, I think when you're a kid. And then you point it out to yourself nonstop.
Look, I don't speak Spanish.
Yeah, hey, look, every hot chick in the world explains she didn't feel beautiful for 10 minutes in the eighth grade.
Yeah,
please.
But short is really...
cry me a river.
Exactly. Okay, so... To the delight of our sound guy, Brian, the new James Bond flick is coming out. I asked him the date, and he happened to know it offhand, November 17th. It's called Casino Royale, and the theme song has been posted online. It's by Chris Cornell, formerly of Soundgarden. Here's a little taste of it. It's called You Know My Name.
I miss the old Casino Royale. Isn't that our theme song? Are we hearing that right now? I like this. Yeah.
This is the old casino.
Doesn't get any better than this one.
Okay, lastly, do I have time? Okay, I'm going to make this quick. Clay Aiken, dodging questions all week about whether or not he's gay. Here he is on Good Morning America.
You are ready to come out and say you're gay.
That would not make any sense for me to do that. I mean, I don't... That doesn't make any sense. I've gotten to a point now where I feel it's kind of invasive, you know? You know what? Forget it. It's what I do in my private life is nobody's business anymore. Period.
Boy, that is screaming. Look, what he just did there, if he'd performed oral on a cameraman, it would have been less telling than what he just did
if
there.
If he was in the middle of watching Rent doing poppers, having anal, it would have been slightly less gay.
I'm gay.
I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Are you gay?
It's important not to sound like the Pillsbury Doughboy just got goosed when somebody asks if you're gay. Here's the proper response. You ask me if I'm gay.
Are you gay?
Beat it!
Well, while we're on the subject of wieners, thanks to the Dodgers, they sent over some delicious Dodger dogs. I enjoyed one with guacamole.
I used to be a fan of the Ramrod until they moved to St. Louis.
12-inch?
Things are getting very exciting in the National League West. The Dodgers salvaged a game last night against the Pirates. The Padres beat the Arizona Diamondbacks. So, the Dodgers trail the Padres by a mere half game as we enter this weekend's action. Arizona Diamondbacks are in Chavez Ravine this weekend, while those Pirates visit the Padres. Now, I will quickly revisit my picks for this weekend. In Pac-10 football, take SC minus the 22.5 at Arizona. Arizona State, +8 at Cal. UCLA, take the -3. Take the Bruins, -3 at Washington. Stanford's +10 at home. I like the Cardinal. And in the NFL, Arizona -4.5 over St. Louis. Seattle -3.5 over the Giants. Philly -6.5 at San Francisco 49ers. I say prove it, 49ers. Look good early. And Denver +7 at New England. I know this isn't going to work out, but I'm going to take the Broncos. And lastly, one more thing. Oh, you know what? It'll keep till next Monday.
All right.
That's
I like
it.
That.
Let's go out.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Oh, short and to the point. We'll take a quick break.
Finally.
We'll be back with, so, what have we learned after this?
This is David Allen Greer, Daggy Roney, baby, and you are listening to the Adam Krakatoa Show.
Mm-hmm. Well, just enough time left. First segment we call, so, what have we learned? Well, we've learned that the only perk to driving the septic tanker truck is the sweet revenge you can take out on an ex when you fill up their Camry with Dookie via the sunroof. We've also learned that we need to install a breathalyzer on all phones to prevent drunk dialing, because what happened in the 7 a.m. hour was nothing short of an abortion in this broadcaster's eyes. And lastly, the great Sugar Ray Leonard in here talking about weight loss. If you see a Mexican jogging in a trash bag, you get to the other side of the street, because that man is lethal with his fists.
Ah, good times.
Now, if you see a Mexican dragging a trash bag, that guy, go ahead and open up on him. But if he's jogging in a trash bag, stay away. He's got thunder in both hands. All right, well, Monday, coming to you from New York. We'll figure out who won the week in the Outbook August. Some good names in here. Sugar Ray Leonard, Lennox Lewis. Norm MacDonald came by.
Matt Hughes,
Ultimate Fighter. Matt Hughes will, a lot of fisticuffs going on this week. We'll get to the bottom of that on Monday. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.